ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो 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 हरे हरे। So today we are beginning the 21st chapter of 10th canto. The gopis glorify the song of Krishna's flute. I can take this. This one. He'll doing it. Okay. This can come up. Hare Krishna. So there are different types of Gitas in the 10th canto. So first is Venu Gita, then Gopi Gita, then Yugala Gita, then Viraha Gita, then Bhramara Gita. So Gopi Gita is, Venu Gita is in 21st chapter we are reading today. So this is Purva Raga. Remaining, as we said, Pura Raga. Others are like more esoteric. This is the mildest esoteric episode. Then Gopi Gita is in the midst of Rasa Panchadhyaya. That is in 31st chapter. Then Yugala Gita is in 35th chapter. There also all the gopis gather together and then discuss with Yashodamayi, right? They glorify Krishna's activities in the forests of Vrindavan. Then after that is Viraha Gita, when Krishna is leaving from Vrindavan to Mathura. Akrura is taking away. All the gopis become so perturbed, so disturbed. They sing Viraha Gita. Then after Krishna left Vrindavan and then he went to Mathura, he sends Uddhava as a messenger, right, with a message. There Radharani, Srimati Radharani just speaks to the bumblebee, that is called Bhramara Gita. That is the most esoteric, that's esoteric than even Rasa Panchadhyaya. There are 10 types of jalpa, prajalpa, sanjalpa, pratijalpa, there are different types of, it's very difficult to comprehend even a drop of it. So, we are in the beginning of the first Gita, this is Venu Gita. So, after discussing the features of the rainy season and autumn in Vrindavan, Sukadeva Goswami describes some of Krishna's pastimes happened in this Sharad Rutu. So, this is kind of a continuation for the previous chapter, the rainy season and autumn season. So, the best part of this autumn season is Krishna plays flute. The best feature in the autumn season is Krishna's playing flute in Vrindavan. Right? So, Sukadeva Goswami reserves this part at the end of the description of autumn season. So, Krishna's playing flute is a part of autumn description only. But Sukadeva Goswami speaks it at the end and he gives a separate chapter for it. Like that. Now, so far Krishna's demon killing pastimes and all of that we have discussed. But here is an episode which is the beginning of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, right? There is not much pastime in this. So, gopis are remembering Krishna. They are contemplating on the various activities that Krishna might perform in the forest. That is the theme of this chapter. So, Radhika Valla Prabhu often quotes from Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani by Sivaram Maharaj. And he says, there are different kinds of reading. One is purposeful reading, second is incidental hearing, reading or hearing. So, purposeful hearing means some people directly jump into the most confidential and esoteric pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. They directly open Rasa Panchadhyaya and start hearing it or reading it or speaking it. Right? Directly jumping into that episode without any context. But there is incidental hearing. For example, in Vidyapeeth, from 1st canto, 1st chapter till 10th canto, 20th chapter, you have gone through it systematically and you happen to end up in 21st chapter in Venu Gita. Or after a few days you will reach, you know, Rasa Panchadhyaya, whatever. So this is called incidental hearing. While you are hearing in sequence or while you are studying Bhagavatam in sequence, these pastimes are coming. You don't have any personal agenda to just jump into the esoteric pastimes of Krishna, nothing like that. So this is called incidental hearing. So this is okay. It comes. We are just studying and suddenly Prabhupada writes or the Acharyas writes about some esoteric aspects of Krishna's pastimes. So it comes, you read that also and then move ahead. But if someone is focusing only on the esoteric part without sufficient spiritual strength, then it may cause havoc in his spiritual life. So all these esoteric pastimes of Krishna have to be approached with utmost care, and we can't afford to take them cheaply or ordinary, although they appear to be like affairs between, you know, any boy and girl of this world. They are not like that. So these are some important notes in the beginning. So for the sadhakas, what is recommended is incidental hearing. In the course of the hearing, someone comes across this kind of topics, right? And whenever an acharya writes a book, he gradually prepares the student to the highest subject matter, right? If you read a book from beginning till end, then the most confidential secrets are revealed at the right contexts, right? So, for example, Bhagavatam, if you take, Srila Vyasadeva established the tattva very clearly. And then he comes to rasa, right? So, in tattva also there are confidential aspects. In rasa also there are confidential aspects, right? But we need to approach the confidential aspects gradually after studying the preliminary subjects carefully. Right? So in Leela also there are three types of confidential Leelas. So the Leelas of Purushavataras, right, Srishti Leela, that is confidential. And the Leelas of all the avataras, right, Leela avataras, they are more confidential. And Krishna's Leelas are most confidential. And within Krishna's Leelas, the Leelas that he performs in Vrindavan are even more confidential. And within the Vrindavan Leelas, Krishna's Leelas with the gopis are the most confidential. In that, the most confidential is Rasa Panchadhyaya, which will start from 29th chapter, 29 to 33. Right? So, by hearing philosophy, hearing philosophy leads to a submission in our consciousness, and hearing pastimes leads to absorption in our consciousness. And both, once the submission comes, you can get absorbed. Without submission, if one is looking for only absorption, that is sentimental or superficial, or it may be kind of sahajya kind of absorption, right? So we need to study the philosophy nicely, and we also need to hear the pastimes also, right? Both should go parallelly. And especially this kind of confidential pastimes between Krishna and the gopis have to be approached with utmost reverence, right? With great respect. So even to utter the name of Srimati Radharani, one has to be extremely careful, right? It should be uttered with utmost reverence and respect, right? Not in an ordinary way. Recently, Prabhuji, Radhesham Prabhuji was sharing in one of the recent classes. So, someone in Vrindavan may say, Radhe, Radhe. He may be calling some barber's wife, Prabhupada says that. So that is, when someone says Radhe Radhe, Prabhupada responds by saying Hare Krishna. So like that. So now we will begin the first verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Itham Sharat Svachha Jalam Padmakara Sugandhina Nyavishad Vayuna Vatam Sago Gopala Kochyutaha.
Swami said, thus the Vrindavan forest was filled with transparent autumnal waters and cooled by breezes, perfumed with the fragrance of lotus flowers growing in the clear lakes. The infallible Lord, accompanied by his cows and cowherd boyfriends, entered that Vrindavan forest.
So, Itham Sharat Swachha Jalam. So, in this way, means Sukadeva Goswami is connecting to the previous descriptions he has mentioned, in this way. The chapter is beginning with in this way. In what way? We just began the chapter. So, this has connection with the previous chapter, that where Sukadeva Goswami elaborately described the features of monsoon and autumn. So, thus, Vrindavan forest was filled with transparent autumnal waters. Swachha Jalam. Sharat Swachha Jalam. Right? So, Padmakara Sugandhina. And all the lakes or water bodies of Vrindavan, they are filled with lotus flowers, right? Padmakara Sugandhina, and they are emanating beautiful fragrances, right? Nyavashad Vayuna Vatam, right? So, Nyavishad means Avishad, so entering. So, Krishna entered the forest, which has all these features, right? He entered, and the breeze is coming, the cool breeze of autumn of Vrindavan is coming. And the infallible Lord, how did he enter? Sa go gopalako achyutaha. So Achyuta, he entered Vrindavan forest along with the goes, cows, and gopalakas, cowherd boys. So that's how he entered the Vrindavan forest. So as we discussed yesterday, ultimately this, all the variegatedness of the seasons of Vrindavan are meant for Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's pastimes. Right? So after describing this season, so Sukadeva Goswami did not live there. Right? Some environmentalist may just describe the nature, beauty of the nature, and then live there. But ultimately the beautiful nature is meant for the pleasure of Krishna, but Bhagavatam speaks about that. Okay? An ordinary environmentalist, he will skip that. right? He is not even aware of that. But Bhagavatam speaks about Krishna's pleasure in the midst of this beautiful environment. Chakravartipad says, now, although staying back in the village, all the gopis, they relate all Krishna's pastimes, which they are seeing through their transcendental eyes and hearts. All the gopis were staying back in the village. They were not going into the forest with Go Gopala. They are not going along with the cows and cowherd boys to herd the cows or calves. Right? They were staying back in the village, doing their household duties. But they were constantly contemplating on the activities of Krishna. In that way, they were seeing, they were witnessing the activities of Krishna, what he is doing in Vrindavan forest, right, throughout the day. So Sukadeva Goswami first describes the Krishna's entrance into the forest before the pastimes of Krishna's flute song. So that now, while entering the Vrindavan forest, what Krishna does is he plays flute. Right. So these are the, you can just show images, there are only images only. This one, once in 2-3 minutes, you just skip the, you just go to the next slide. Kusumitavana Rajis Sushmibhringa Dvijakula Gushtasara Sarin Mahidram Madhupatir Avagahyacharayanga Sahapashupalabalaschakujavenum.
The lakes, rivers and hills of Vrindavan resounded with the sounds of maiden bees and the flocks of birds moving about the flowering trees. In the company of the cowherd boys and Balram, Madhupati, Shri Krishna entered that forest, and while herding the cows, he began to vibrate his flute.
So Kusumita Vanaraji Sushmi Bhringa. So Vanaraji means, in Vrindavan forest there are so many beautiful trees. Kusumita, they are flowering, right? Sushmi Bhringa, and all those flowers are very colorful, fragrant, right? So Bhringa, all the bees are attracted to those flowers, attracted to the honey of those flowers, and they're inundating, right, all the flowers, all the trees with their sounds, Bhringa. And Dvija, Dvija means birds, because they have two wings, they are called Dvija. Dvija is not a second initiated Brahman here. Dvija is also the name of birds in Sanskrit. Dvija Kula, Gushta, Sarah, Sarit, Mahidram. So all the trees are surrounded by maddened bees, which are attracted to their flowers. And Dvija Kula, all the flocks of birds are also moving about around the trees. So Dvijakula Gushta Sara Sarin Mahidram. And Mahidram means hills, Sarit means rivers, Sarah means lakes. So in this atmosphere, all the bees and birds are very nicely frolicking. Now in this atmosphere, Krishna is entering. Madhupatir Avagahya Charayan Gaha. Madhupati, Krishna is described as Madhupati here. So he entered into this kind of beautiful atmosphere, which is filled with lakes and rivers and trees and hills and waterfalls and bees and birds. Krishna entered. For what? Charayan gaha, to herd the cows. And who were accompanying him? Saha pashupala balas chakuja venum. Saha pashupala balas. So along with all the beautiful cowherd boys and cows, he has entered there. And chakuja venum, he is playing the flute. Right, he did not enter silently. He was very nicely playing the flute, vibrating his flute. So as suggested by the words Chakuja Venum, Krishna skillfully played, blended the sound of his flute with the lovely sounds of Vrindavan's multicolored birds. Now, in this beautiful Vrindavan atmosphere, there are so many birds which are chirping. So bird chirping makes a very sweet sound. Right, when a crow starts making sound, it's not very pleasing. But all the cuckoos and then beautiful birds, colorful birds of Vrindavan, when they, sing, then it is a very beautiful, musical performance there. And in the midst of all of that, Krishna enters and plays his Venu. That creates an intoxicating musical performance, right? And Krishna blends his flute sound in the midst of all those sounds. It's not like two or three like incoherent or disconnected sounds happening, right? Although hundreds of birds are, you know, vibrating sounds so nicely, Krishna can blend very well with all that. His flute sound. Chakuja Venum. And that created an irresistible heavenly vibration was created. So heavenly is maybe a poor comparison, but it's beyond the heavens, beyond Vaikuntha also. Ananda Vrindavan Champu very beautifully describes, while Krishna is going on the pathway, Krishna left the wonderful marks of a goat, lotus, conch, thunderbolt and other symbols of his lotus feet on the surface of Mother Earth. So Krishna's walking in Vrindavan is of very special significance, because nowhere the Supreme Personality of Godhead walks without slippers. Right? In Vaikuntha, he wears slippers. In Dwarka, Krishna wears slippers. In Mathura, Krishna wears slippers. But in Vrindavan forests, Krishna walks barefoot. Directly, you know, bringing his lotus feet and all the auspicious marks on this lotus feet directly in contact with Mother Earth's surface. Right? That is like what is it? Kava Saheta Viraham Purushottamasya. Romotsavo Mamayadanghri Vitankitaya. Romotsavo. Mother Earth's hairs are standing on end. She is celebrating Utsava when Krishna is walking barefoot on her surface. So Krishna is holding the flute on his lips, and then he slowly played this Mallavasri Raga. So Mallavasri Raga. In the second verse, it is mentioned that Krishna is playing Mallavasri Raga, just fit for the autumn season. So Krishna's lips red as bimba fruits, and somewhere else also this kind of comparison comes, where Krishna's lips are compared to bimba fruit. Damodarashtakam, correct. Right. He drank, okay, the abundant flow of nectar emanating from the belly of flute spread throughout the atmosphere. Besides the intended raga of Mallavasri, the flute seemed to produce a variety of personified tunes. Here, in Vrindavan, the flute is a person. It's nothing but a little small bamboo stick. But it's a person. It's a male, specifically. Right? And what it produces are tunes. They're not impersonal tunes. Personified tunes. Each tune is a person. Right? So, Chakuja Venum. Krishna is skillfully playing the flute. Only Krishna played the flute, not Balramji or other Gopas. Because when Krishna plays the flute, Balramji and Gopas get absorbed in that flute sound. Right? They forget all mischief and all, they just get absorbed in that flute sound. They will not play with Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, here Krishna is described as Madhupati. So Gopas were called followers of Madhu since they were members of Yadu dynasty. And thus Krishna is Madhupati, Lord of Cowherds. Right, so this indicates a complete gathering of boys for the pastimes. And Madhupati has another meaning. Madhupati is indicating Krishna, and Madhupati is another meaning is he is the Lord of Spring, which is king of all seasons. When the Lord of Spring enters the forest, then the autumn forest becomes even more beautiful. Like that, that's another meaning of Madhupati. Third verse, you wanted to show some video. So we have some small clippings from Little Krishna, where Krishna plays flute, which are matching with these verses. Now Prand Gopinath Prabhu will show. Meanwhile, we'll recite the third verse. Tadvrajastriya Ashrutya Venugitam Smarodayam Kaschit Paroksham Krishnasya Svasikhibhyo Nvavarnayan.
When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Raja heard the song of the Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends.
Yes, Prabhu, sure. Should we continue? Okay. So, tad vrajastriya ashrutya. So, vrajastris here means the gopis. Tad vrajastriya means the ladies of Vrindavan. Ashrutya, hearing. So, Krishna is going into the forest, playing the flute. But the ladies, the gopis who were staying back in the village, doing their household activities, they were hearing it. Right? That's how closely they were connected with Krishna. Although physically they were like distance apart, but their consciousness is so closely connected with Krishna. So Ashrutya, they heard. What they heard? Venugitam, the song of the flute. Venugitam. Smara Udayam. Smara means the Cupid, Manmadha. So Smara Udayam, it arose a Cupid in their hearts. Right? So Kaschid Paroksham Krishnasya, some of them Kaschid, Paroksham, privately, right, not in public, privately, they started gathering together. Krishnasya swasakibhyah anvavarnayan. They started describing Krishna and his activities with their close friends, privately. That's what is happening in the third verse. So paroksha means the gopis are located far away from Krishna and Vraja. So Harivamsa says, the gopis then had a full experience of Krishna's purti. This occurred regularly since the nature of prema is that the sought object becomes its target from far off. So it's the nature of the love or affection for the beloved object that even though he's standing very far away, he's connected. For example, a sadhaka, a sincere disciple, is connected with the spiritual master so intimately that he constantly understands what my spiritual master is doing. For example, Srila Prabhupada, in the first volume of Leelamrit, we read that he would often go to Gaudiya Math and then inquires from all the disciples there, what is my spiritual master doing? What are his recent activities? Okay, oh, he's meeting such and such person. He's planning for so and so installation of some mutts. So all that, he would learn all those activities and then he feel inspired. At that time, Prabhupada was a grihastha, right? So when there is dedication, sincerity and affection and love, then although a person is physically far away, he will constantly meditate on the activities of the person. He is conscious of that person, right? So on hearing the flute, the gopis began to describe Krishna constantly or began making songs of their own. Okay, Anva Avarnayan. Though Krishna was engaged in playing the flute at this time, Krishna is in Pauganda stage. So he aroused them means like Cupid aroused in them because of his skillfulness in manifesting Kaishora age even at this time. So in Pauganda age, Krishna is manifesting Kaishora age. So there is nice breakup. Kaumaram, there is one verse. Kaumaram panchamabdhantam. Paugandam dashamavadhi. Kaishoram a pancha dashad, then yavanam tu tatahparam. So Kaumaram means first 5 years. Then Paugandam means till next 5 years, till age 10. Kaishoram means next 15 years. Then beyond that is yavanam. This is the age breakup. Right? So but Krishna, he stayed for 3 years, 4 months in Mahavan. In 3 years, 4 months, Krishna completed his Kaumara age. Kaumara pastimes he completed. So when he entered the 5th month of his 4th year, then he entered Pauganda age. So by the time he reached 6 years, 8 months, Krishna completed his Pauganda age. And by the time he completed 10 years, he finished his Kaishora pastimes. Right? So in certain age, you know, that tenure, like say 5 to 10, so the child or the boy who is growing, he would manifest certain pastimes and activities. Okay, those activities are called Kaishora pastimes or whatever. But Krishna finished Kaishora age by 10 years only. Right? So now Krishna is below 6 years, 8 months, according to his age. But he is manifesting Kaishora as if he is 10 years old. So he is manifesting like that. And when Krishna is at the age of 10 years, 7 months, when he came to Mathura, he was in Yavana. Yavana is the age which is beyond 15, but Krishna manifested his Yavana beyond 10 years, 7 months only. He need not wait till that time. So Krishna's growth till Yavana age is very quick. In 10 years, 7 months, he will reach Yavana stage. And beyond that, he will not grow. Right? He will remain like that. Yavana. Nitya Yavana. Although he lives for 100 years or 125 years, he is Nitya Yavana. Or Nitya Kaishwara also. Sometimes he is described like that. But we take 15 years to come to Yavana. And in another 15 years, he will become old. Right? Couple of years back, I went to this doctor, Ahmedabad doctor. At the time, he was 92 years old. Now he passed away. He saw my nadi and then said, liver is not functioning. Your, what is this, knees are not functioning. Budapa agaya. He said, I was 29 and he was 92. He is calling me Budapa. So, Kali Yuga bodies means you become old so easily. You become young in 15 years and you will become old in next 15 years or whatever. But Krishna is Nitya Yavana. So, the autumn beauty of Vrindavan stimulated Krishna to play flute to attack the gopis. So, the ambience has a lot of effect on one's consciousness or activities, right? Now, for example, all the gopis, they met Krishna and Balaram and others in Kurukshetra. You see, 10th canto, 84 or 85th chapter, we see the meeting of all Dwarakavasis and Vrindavan Vasis come there at the place Kurukshetra, right, when some eclipse happens. There, although all the gopis of Vrindavan and Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and Gopas, they were seeing Krishna, and he is the same Krishna with whom they had spent time. But they are unable to accept Krishna in that form. You come to Vrindavan, you remove all these helmets and then all these horses and chariots and all, right? You come to Vrindavan, be like a cowherd boy. Then we can accept you. Accept you means like, then we will get that, punch or we'll get that mood of Vrindavan. Otherwise, it's difficult to relate to Krishna in this attire. That's why this Rath Yatra festival is there. So the ambience and the whole attire will matter a lot, right? So now there is beautiful Vrindavan ambience here. And in the midst of that, Krishna is entering his Kaishora age, or Krishna is manifesting his features of Kaishora age, and then he is playing flute to attract the gopis. So the season is perfect, the age is perfect, everything is perfect. When Krishna is stealing butter when he was some 3 years old, 2 years old, he can't do all these pastimes, right? It should have certain age, it should have certain ambience. The atom ambience is also very much supporting it, like that. So then, here kaschit, the word kaschit comes, where? Kaschit paroksham krishnasya. Now kaschit might mean some gopis. Kaschit might also mean that they have heard the flute a little. Now, they didn't hear the flute song very completely also. They have heard a little and then they went into ecstasy. Like that, there are like two meanings. Even hearing the flute of Krishna a little, some people got affected, right? Especially Srimati Radharani, she became affected by hearing Krishna's flute little. She need not hear the full song also, like that. So all the women of Raja heard. However, since the sound is described as Sarva Bhuta Manoharam, Krishna's flute is attracting not only the Madhurya gopis, it is attracting everyone. It is attracting all the demigod ladies, it is attracting all the female birds and does and cows and calves and everyone. And it is attracting the Vatsalya gopis also. Right? When their beloved child is playing flute, mothers will relish. That is happening to other gopis also, elderly gopis also in Vrindavan. Women like Yashoda also got attracted to this flute in Vatsalya mood, in with Vatsalya sentiments, right? So, while Krishna is doing this, so Srimati Radharani spoke to her friends, such as Lalita, and revealed her mental anguish. So they started discussing about Krishna's activities. Fourth verse. Tadvarnayitum arabdhah smarantyah krishna cheshtitam నాశకన్ స్మర వేగేన విక్షిప్త మనసో నృప.
Krishna, but when they remembered his activities, O king, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds and thus they could not speak.
So because of the power of Cupid, these gopis could not speak. Although they gathered together to discuss, they could not speak. Jiva Goswami gives the sequence of arousal of love. First they began to describe Krishna privately, indirectly, paroksham. As the third verse says, paroksham. Second, they began, they could not do so because of smara vegena. Earlier it was smara udayam, right? Arousal of Cupid. They started discussing privately. Then they could not continue ahead because of smara vegena, because of that so much of force. Then they turned over again and again in their minds the activities of he who has attracted their hearts using his flute. Like that, they turned over. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Parikshit Maharaj, Rajan, Nrupa, right? Vikshipta manaso Nrupa. Oh Nrupa, oh king, why this king is coming into, why this kind of address is given in this context? So Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Parikshit with great pain because he was also experiencing intense emotions. While describing, Sukadeva Goswami is also getting attracted to the flute of Krishna. The descriptions of Krishna, right? So that's why he is addressing, O king. Or he calls to Parikshit to control him when he sees that Parikshit is developing strong emotions. Because Parikshit is getting absorbed. Oh, Nrupa, right here, I have fifth verse. We are getting absorbed in fourth verse only. So either to wake him up or like bringing him back to senses to hear more, or he himself, to control his himself emotions, like that. So all the gopis are thinking about Krishna and they are constantly singing about these glories while doing all their activities. They are not leaving the activities. So Uddhava wanted to get the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then Mahaprabhu recommended the method of worship of gopis as the highest. What is that? Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachi Dupasana Vrajavadhu Sargena Yakalpita. Right, the best form of worship is the way in which gopis worship Krishna. Right? So the ultimate aspiration of a Gaudiya Vaishnava, a person who is practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavism, is to serve Krishna following in the footsteps of gopis. Right? That's what is Mahaprabhu's recommendation. So in Vrindavan, everyone can exhibit their feelings towards Krishna apart from gopis. So now, what is missing, or what to say, the predicament of the gopis is that they can never express their emotions in front of Krishna. All the Vatsalya gopis or gopas, they would come to Krishna, embrace Krishna and then express their emotions very nicely. And all the friends of Krishna, whole day in the forest, they are with Krishna, they can freely, you know, frolic with Krishna, do some mischief with Krishna, then steal butter and play with Krishna and then make fun of him and then fight with him and then defeat him or get defeated by him. All this they can do. And all the animals of Vrindavan, they can also very freely express themselves in front of Krishna. Right? All the peacocks can come in front of Krishna and dance. Monkeys can come and then ask their share for a share of butter. Squirrels will come, then parrots will come. So many animals and birds of Vrindavan can freely express their emotions with Krishna. But gopis, because of the social customs, they can never come forward and express their emotions freely with Krishna. Right? Even in Kaliya episode also, and so many other episodes. Right? When Krishna has saved somebody from danger, saved the entire Vrindavan from danger, and all gopas and gopis, elderly gopas and elderly gopis, and everyone would come and congratulate Krishna or you know, show their affection to Krishna, whatever. But gopis, they always had to stay behind. They cannot come forward. Yeah, go to the previous. So this is the Venugita picture. They were doing their activities, they were thinking of Krishna. Simple. They are constantly absorbed in Krishna. is Pushkar painting, BBT. So now fifth verse, this is the most beautiful verse of in the entire Bhagavatam, one of the most beautiful verses, and this verse particularly transformed the heart of Sukadeva Goswami. That is the fifth verse. Right, we will recite this, we will try to memorize this. Barhapidam natavaravapu karnayo karnikaram. Bibhradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam. Randhran veno radhara sudhaya purayan gopavundair. Vrindaranyam svapada ramanam pravishad gita kirti. Varha peedam natavaravapu karnayor karnikaram. Bibhradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam. Randhran venoradhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindair. Vrindaranyam svapada ramanam pravishad gita kirti.
Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vajanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers. As he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints, he filled the halls of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories.
So, while I was reading the commentaries of other acharyas like Chakvartipa, Jiva Goswami, Gopal, Anandavrindavan Champu, Harivamsa, I felt not this chapter, but specifically other chapters still wherever Prabhupada has translated. So, I was feeling that Prabhupada just went through all those commentaries and then summarized them and then put them in a form where we can digest, right? Some details, it seems that it's like the purport seems to be skipping many of those details, some of these details which other acharyas mentioned, right? So Prabhupada gave what is the most important and what the Ekalyuga reader can relate to, right? And nevertheless, Prabhupada encouraged, right in the first canto, first verse, purport, Prabhupada encouraged, a serious student of Srimad Bhagavatam would always go to the commentaries of previous acharyas and study them well, right, for better relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. He encouraged his readers to study commentaries of other acharyas. At the same time, he presented some things which are very much relevant and which the Kali Yuga readers can relate to, right? So now, the purport here is only 4-5 lines, Prabhupada's disciples write. And you see, somewhere in one of these purports, the disciples of Prabhupada, Hridayananda Goswami and others, they write that because Prabhupada has given elaborate commentaries on 10th canto in the form of Krishna book, the purports that they have written here are quite small, right, for several chapters, except for Bhramar Gita and Krishna teasing Rukmini, right, and prayers of personified Vedas. So except for these 3-4 chapters, most of the purports of 10th canto are very small. But 11th canto, each verse you will find elaborate purports, 4 pages, 5 pages, 6 pages, 10 pages. And Uddhav Gita, just wait 3-4 months, we'll have to comprehend all that. So now this particular verse is explained in various ways by Chakvartipad, then Jiva Goswami and other places. So this is the first verse by which Sukadeva Goswami became a devotee. This verse and another verse. Here he saw the beauty of Krishna, Varhapidam. Then in the next verse, he understood the mercy of Krishna. Aho bhagiyam sanakala gotam jighamchaya payad apya sadhvi Lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum charanam vrajayama. These two verses Sukadeva Goswami heard and became a devotee. Right? So this verse describes about the trance of gopis. Right? This is the best description of Krishna found anywhere else. It is the opinion of some people. So, you know, gopis started meditating on Krishna from top to bottom. Generally, meditation on Krishna starts from bottom to top. Right? So, first lotus feet, then it will approach Krishna's lotus face and smile, etc. But gopis, they can't follow the regular strategy. Right? They can start from anywhere because they are the highest, topmost devotees. Barhapidam, first it starts from the peacock feather, right on the top of Krishna, the topmost element in Krishna's darshan. They start from peacock feather. Of course, some pujaris put peacock feather here, but it's generally on the top of head. Right? So, from there till lotus feet, they start Vrindaranyam. Another description, Rudra Gita. You remember Rudra Gita? There also, Lord Shiva starts describing from head to feet. What is the first verse? Srinigdha Pravridghanashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham Charvayata Chaturbahu Sujata Ruchirananam. Then, Padma Kosha Parasaksham. Sundara Bhurushanasikam Sudvijam Sukapolasham Samakarna Vibhushanam. So he starts from face and slowly goes to the lotus feet. Apart from these two descriptions, we generally find the descriptions of Krishna from bottom to top, lotus feet to head only. Here gopis are saying, Barhapidam, Krishna is wearing a peacock feather. Barhapidam Natavara Vapu. His attire, vapu, his body and his bodily movements are resembling a Natavara, best artist on the stage. When Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan, it is as if an expert artist, actor is coming on the stage to perform something. Right? Natavara vapu karnayor karnikaram. Karnayor karnikaram means he wears a beautiful karnika flower below his ears. Sometimes left, sometimes right. Right? No, it's yellow color. It's yellow in color and it looks like lotus. That's what the descriptions here say. No, in some other description, yellow is also mentioned. Karanika, two colors. Two colors of Karanika. Here it's written blue. Particular kind of blue lotus-like flower. But in Anandamandavan Champu or somewhere it says Karnika is clearly a yellow flower in the shape of lotus. Karnayor Karnikaram Bibhrat Vasaha. Right? Bibhrat means he's wearing. Vasaha Kanaka Kapisham. Vasa means garments. What kind of garments? Kanaka Kapisham. They are shining like yellow. Their yellow is shining, the Vasam has. Vaijayantim Chamalam. He is wearing mala, which is made of Vaijayanti flowers. Vaijayanti is given another explanation also, that Vaijayanti mala is a mala which is made of five kinds of flowers. Okay, what are the five kinds of flowers also they mentioned somewhere. Vaijayantim cha malam randhran venor adhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindir. He has venu, randhran venor, in the holes of the venu, adhara sudhaya purayan. He is pouring the nectar of his lips. Adhara sudhaya purayan. Then while he is playing the flute like that, what's happening? Gopa vrindair and all the cowherd boys are following him. While he is doing so, while cowherd boys are following him, while he is playing the flute, Vrindaranyam, he is entering the forest of Vrindaranyam. How? Svapada ramanam pravishad. So by marking the land of Vrindavan with his lotus footprints. Svapada ramanam pravishad. He is entering barefoot. That's what it means. Pravishad. Gita kirtihi. And all the gopas are singing his glories. While Krishna is playing flute and entering the forest, all the cowherd boys surrounding him, they are singing about Krishna. Right? Oh, you killed Putana, you killed Bakasur, you killed Vatsasur. So you are our dear friend. Like that they are singing and entering the forest. So, he wore Vaijayanti garland made of five different colors. Yeah. Then Bibhrat means Krishna purposefully dressed in an artful way to display his youthful charms to incite some romantic desires in the gopis. Right? So the holes of the flute, that's very special. Since the gopis might have criticized the flute as a non-living being and having holes, Krishna, what he is doing? He is filling the holes with the nectar of his lips. Then he brought the Venu to life and he empowered it to madden the three worlds. Venu is nothing but a small bamboo, branch or whatever, small stick, bamboo stick. But Krishna made it so glorious, and that is, stick is also not continuous, it has some holes. A hollow stick, what is it useful for? But Krishna picked it up and then poured nectar of his lips into that and brought it back to life and maddened the three worlds, three worlds completely. Right? That is the power of Krishna's touch. We hear about power of Krishna's touch elsewhere also. When Krishna touched the conch shell, whitest conch shell, that has become reddened with the touch of his lips and the touch of his reddish hands. Right? It is compared to somebody becoming spiritual by practicing devotional service. Prabhupada says, where it comes? First canto, 11th chapter, when Krishna is entering Dwaraka. And in 10th canto only, Krishna empowered the small string, right? Deshoda Mai used that rope to bind him. Krishna empowered that rope to collapse between two twin Arjuna trees, right? Which ordinarily doesn't have the strength. So Krishna is empowering the flute also. Entire chapter, the 20 verses, the next coming 15 verses are the glorification of flute only, right? So in such a transcendental literature, the glories of flute are occupying one full chapter, right? So Krishna is empowering the flute so much. So flute vibration makes itself successful in accomplishing its purpose of fully exhibiting its powers by conquering the Vrajagopis with Cupid. So Natavara Vapuhu means Krishna had a body of a dancer. Yanmartya Leelau Paikam Swayoga Maya Balam Darshayita Grihitam Visvapanam Swasyacha Sobhagardehe Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. This comes in the third canto, Uddhava. Jiva Goswami quotes this verse in his commentary. That Krishna possesses a form which is suitable for human pastimes. Right? And he shows his full capacity. So this form of Krishna would astonish himself only. And it is the ornament of all ornaments. Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. So since Krishna's beauty astonishes even himself, it is natural that he can be compared to the best of the dancers. Natavara Vapuh. Okay. While explaining the word Natavara Vapuh, Jiva Goswami quotes this verse. Jiva Goswami only says, Karinikara flower is yellow with the shape of a lotus. Like that. So Vrinda. Now Vrindaranyam Svapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti, right? Vrindaranyam. Krishna is entering Vrinda forest. So the forest also is a person. The predominating deity of the forest is a person. So Vrinda is the protector of forest, and it cleaned the forest, decorated the forest especially with the intention of stimulating Krishna for his pastimes. Right? Vrinda Devi. Right, the queen of Vrinda forest, she is also welcoming Krishna. Right, so or the forest was attractive to his feet by being filled with charming, soft dust, fragrance, flowers, leaves, etc. So the forest land is very attractive to Krishna's feet, because if you put the feet on this floor, you may feel comfortable. If you walk on our pathways barefoot, they will just pierce the feet. The other day, Srinivasacharya or Pujari, so who was assisting Maharaj in opening all the 7 temples, he was saying, I am unable to walk anymore. How many more temples are there? 4 more temples are there. My God, he was morning 4 o'clock onwards, he was fasting. He just took some milk. Till 1 o'clock, 1:30, he was walking around. So it's difficult to walk. So, but for the walking of Krishna, Vrindavan land, Vrinda Devi, arranged for soft mud, flowers, leaves, twigs, right? So that Krishna can have a very nice experience while walking. So, are seeing the gopis' emotions, he glorified them with songs, not mentioning them specifically out of shyness. So, just like now things are coming, gopis would glorify Krishna, but they would not take Krishna's name directly. They would include Balramji also. Although they are attracted to Krishna more, but they will include Balramji also. Okay, they will say things very indirectly. Devaki Sutta, sometimes they say. So, like that, Nanda Sutta, they say. They say Balram and Krishna, but their whole focus is on Krishna, but out of shyness and fear of public opinion, they are unable to openly express. Similarly, Krishna is also feeling so attracted to the gopis, but he is not taking their names directly. He is just playing flute indirectly, all that. Apparently, Krishna is playing flute for the pleasure of Balramji and gopis, gopas surrounding him. But actually, the internal reason is he wants to attract the gopis, right? So, Balramji was included among the cowherd boys. He is not mentioned because the gopis were attracted to Krishna. Thus, Balramji was an assistant in one, as one among his entourage. Balramji is an assistant. Six. You are ready? Yes. Sixth verse. Whatever. We'll recite the sixth verse meanwhile. You start it, pass it, then we'll come. Iti venuravam rajan sarvabhuta manoharam shrutva vrajastriya sarva varnayanto bhire bhire.
O king, when the young ladies in the Vraja heard the sound of Krishna's flute, which captivates the mind of all living beings, they all embraced one another and began describing it.
So, iti venu ravam rajan. So, Parikshit Maharaj is being addressed as Rajan by Sukadeva Goswami. Iti venu ravam rajan sarvabhuta manoharam. So, Krishna's venu rava, the sound of the flute of Krishna, is sarvabhuta manoharam. It can attract everyone. Just the next several verses, 12, 13 verses, are describing how Krishna is attracting every living entity in Vrindavan, right? Shritva Vrajastriya Sarva, by hearing this, all Vrajastris, they, whether they be cows or Vatsalya Gopis or Madhurya Gopis, all Vrajastris got attracted. Sarva Varnayanto Bhire Bhire, they are embracing each other and then started describing it, Krishna's flute. So, now Harivamsa says, like one of the gopis, Srimati Radharani, so she would go to her close friends, Vishakha Devi, Lalita Devi. Lalita is also called Anuradha. She's always with Radharani. So they would go and then discuss. Now Chandravali would go to the Sakis like Saibhya and Padma, and she would discuss about Krishna like that. Among them, they were revealing their desires and discussions very confidentially, right, when they were hearing about Krishna's flute. After becoming speechless by remembering Krishna, gopis then regained their composure and were thus able to ecstatically describe the sound of Krishna's flute. In the second verse only, they gathered together to discuss. Now, till sixth verse, no speech. Right? From seventh verse only, speech will begin. Right? So far, some kind of shyness and then hesitation, some ecstasy, everything is going on. They are unable to freely discuss amongst themselves. Right? Sixth verse is similar to second verse only. But from 7th verse onwards, the actual discussion will begin. So, few gopis began to exclaim, and the other gopis realized that they also shared the same ecstatic love for Krishna in their hearts. So, they were overwhelmed with love for Krishna. Right? This is no mundane attraction between boy and girl which is shown in movies of Hollywood and Bollywood. But this is pure spiritual attraction between the soul and Krishna. If you read Radhanaswami Maharaj's Journey Home, there's one description of Sharad Purnima comes. There he quotes, I think Bhavan Maharaj gives a talk about Sharad Purnima. There one paragraph comes where Maharaj writes that Rasleela means the pure expression of a soul, pure spirit soul, towards his beloved Supreme Lord. That's what it is. Right? It's the topmost spiritual activity. So all the gopis means here, Sarva Vrajastriya is mentioned, right? Sritva Vrajastriya Sarva. So that indicates all strengths of attachment, such as deep, medium and light. So gopis are also having different grades of attachment towards Krishna. Some have medium, some have deep, some have light. Srimati Radharani has the deepest possible, right? So all kinds of gopis were attracted. So they mentally embraced Krishna, who had overpowered their hearts. Now Anandamrindavan Champu says, although there were unlimited groups of Georgius gopis, they all had the great fortune of achieving the highest stage of love for Krishna. The gopis had peaceful natures and the same object of meditation, namely the desire to attain Krishna. What is common amongst all these different kinds of gopis, different groups of gopis, is all of them had a common desire to attain Krishna and serve Krishna and please Krishna, right? So the leaders of each group of gopis spoke two verses of praise. Anandavrindavan Champu says. Now from Anandavrindavan Champu and Harivamsa, the next verses, which are beginning from 7th verse, actual Venu Gita, from 7th verse till the end of the chapter, are verses spoken by gopis on different days. One day, Krishna did like this. Another day, Krishna attracted a deer. Another day, Krishna attracted the clouds. So like that, on different days. And these verses are spoken by different groups of gopis. So that is according to Harivamsa and Anandavrindavan Champu. Other one is there. Something else was longer, na? Yeah, this one. Sound. Seventh verse. Shri Gopya Uchuhu Akshanvatam Phalamidam Naparam Vidama Sakya Pasun Anuviveshayor Vayasyaihi Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor Anuvenu Jushtam Yairvani Pita Manurakta Kataksha Moksham Akshanvatam Phalamidam Naparam Vidama Sakhya Pashun Anuviveshatayor Vayasyaihi Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor Anuvenu Jushtam. Yairvani Pita Manurakta Kataksha Moksham.
The cowherd girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nand are certainly fortunate, as these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends. Driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision.
So, akshanvatam falamidam naparam vidamaha. Vidamaha means we know. Gopis are saying we know it. What do they know? Akshanvatam falam idam naparam. The object, the purpose of having eyes is this. They don't directly say, this, what is this? That will, the intended purposes, purpose of gopis, that acharyas will reveal. So they, because out of shy, they are unable to express it completely and very explicitly. Akshanvatam phalamidam na param vidamaha. So the discussion began, and in the very first verse, idam, they are saying something, right? Idam means this, means like a lot of contemplation happened on that subject internally. Now they are saying the continuation of it is coming out from their mouths, idam. So to see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan is the ultimate limit of vision. Akshanvatam phalamidam na param vidamaha. There is nothing else. Sakhyah pashun anu viveshayator vayasyaihi. So Krishna would go, Sakhyah, along with all his Sakhya is hearing, referring to gopis, right? One gopi is telling other gopis, Sakhi, oh my dear friend. So here, what is that? Pashun anuvivishayata means along with the cows, Krishna is entering the forest, along with the cows and vayasyaihi. Vayasyaihi means gopas of the same age, vayasya. Vayasya is not a name. Some people think that vayasya is also name of a gopa, but vayasya means gopa of the same age, right? Friend of the same age. Vayasyaihi. Vaktram Vrajesha Tanayah. So Vaktram is referring to the face of two people. Vraja Isha Tanayah. Tanayah means Vrajesha Sutayah. So the sons, the two sons of Vrajesha, who is Nanda Maharaj. Now Vrajesha can also mean Vasudev, because Vasudev also is known to have some cows in the land of Vrindavan, and then he is also belonging to the Yadu dynasty, and then he is also sometimes called, can be called as Vrajesha. So Vrajesha Sutayah, and Balramji is popularly known as Vasudev's son, right? And gopis were also referring to Gargamuni's prediction. Sometimes this boy Krishna is also son of Vasudev. So with that, all those connections in mind, they are trying to present things as indirectly as possible, right? Out of shy and then other public opinion, right? So, akshanvatam phalamidam na param vidamaha sakhya pashun anuviveshayator vayasyaihi vaktram rajesha sutayor anuvenu jushtam. And they are possessing flutes, anuvenu jushtam, yairva nipitam anurakta kataksha moksham. And they were carrying flutes and anurakta kataksha moksham. They are nipitam, means they are imbibed with loving sidelong glances on those who are seeing them, right? So those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the two sons of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna and Balaram, are very fortunate. As they are entering the forest along with the friends and the cows, they hold flutes to their mouths and glance upon Vrindavan Vasis, right? So those who are getting their darshan are very fortunate, right? And they were wearing radiant tilak made of various colored mineral powders, right? That is gracing their foreheads. So that's how they are appreciating. Now acharyas say about akshanvatam phalam. If you simply remain in the shackles of family life in material world, what will you ever get to see? Creator has granted you eyes. With that eyes, you should see the most wonderful thing, which is Krishna. This is the conviction of the gopis. And gopis were aware that their mothers or mother-in-laws or elders, other elders, they might hear their, this romantic words and they may disapprove. Why are you discussing all this? So they may kind of ridicule them. They were a little hesitant to speak it very openly. But they say, nevertheless, they say, akshanvatam phalam means they are not saying we are desirous of seeing Krishna. Although that is their desire, they are not directly saying we are desirous of seeing Krishna. They are saying akshanvatam phalamidam. It is the goal of every person to see Krishna, not just us. The purpose of having eyes for any person is fulfilled only if he sees Krishna and Balaram. Right? It is supposed to be the case for everyone, not just gopis. Akshanata phalam, commonly, everyone should see Krishna and Balaram. So, since Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone, why couldn't they also love him in spiritual ecstasy? They are generalizing the thing. Krishna is supposed to be the object of love for everyone. Right? If we love him, if we think of him, what is the mistake? That's what gopis say. So success for those who have eyes is to see Krishna. We do not know any other result than seeing our beloved. Na param vidamaha. We do not know. Nothing else. We know nothing else except from seeing Krishna. And what is that result? Someone may ask. It is what is experienced. Nipitam means what is experienced. Jushtam means what is tasted. So that result of seeing Krishna is supposed to be experienced and tasted. Right? So what is tasted by them when they experience this face is the result. Right? Like that. How can someone else understand this? It is supposed to be experienced personally. It is supposed to be tasted personally. Right? And this is the highest thing that we are approving. So we can't explain. Like that. So they do not clearly state the object, but they say this in the beginning, making it secret. Since it would be unsuitable to mention the name abruptly. Directly they can't start with Krishna. And because of their intense affection and love, intense prema, they are unable to state things very clearly also. That's another aspect. One out of shy, one out of their intense emotions. Like that. And now, although it is mentioned that akshanvatam phalamidam means it is the fortune of eyes, but actually seeing Krishna is satisfaction of all senses, not just eyes. The purpose of having eyes is fulfilled if you see Krishna, but if you see Krishna, the purpose of all senses are fulfilled. Where else this kind of mention is there? Anywhere else? We have just discussed also. There also some description. Vani Gunanugat. Next. Yeah, correct. In that love letter. One more incident is also there. We just discussed. One more context. Nityam nirikshamananam vidyapidvara gogasam hidrisha sriyodhamangamachyutam. Specifically looking for this. How Krishna's darshan will satisfy all senses. Here akshanvatam phalam is mentioned. But it is not just akshanvatam phalam. It is sarvendriya. I gave already some keywords. Sarvendriya gunanjanam. Darshanam no didrikshunam dehi bhagavata architam. Rupam priyatamam svanam sarvendriya gunanjanam. Rudra Gita. Lord Shiva says. Right? Please show me that darshan. Darshanam no didrikshunam. We are so desirous of having that darshan. Didrikshunam. Dehi. Give us. Bhagavata architam. That form in which all bhagavatas worship you, show that form. Right? Rupam priyatamam svanam. Priyatamam. It is the most desirable and favorite object of all svanam, devotees. Sarvendriya gunanjanam. It can completely satisfy all the senses. Darshan means, to see some object means it is pleasure for eyes. But it is pleasure for all senses. But if you see Krishna. In that purport, in that purport, Prabhupada also writes, this verse is specifically meant for Krishna. Sarvendriya Gunanjanam. This is specifically describing Krishna only, not Narayana and other forms. If you remember that Rudra Gita purport. Next, Vrajesha Sutayor. Another word. Akshanvatam falamidam naparam vidamaha sakhya pasun. Anu viveshayator vayasyaihi. Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor. We discussed. Balramji is also, Vrajesha Sutayor means, now Krishna is known as Vrajesha Suta. He is son of Nanda Maharaj. But what about Balram? But Balram is also popularly known as Nanda Maharaj's son. Although he is son of Rohini and Vasudev, he is popularly known as Nanda Maharaj's son. How, if you remember in the 10th canto, 5th chapter, when Nanda Maharaj meets Vasudev in Mathura, Vasudev personally asks him, right, is my son Balaramji treating you as father? Right? My son Balaramji treats you as father. He understands you as father. Because he never saw me as father. Right? So he inquires about Balaramji. So it's not this Vrajesha Sutayor. So Sutayor means Krishna and Balaram both. Vrajesha can mean Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj also. Right? So Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor, the face among the two, which is turning back. Although Krishna is intended by the gopis here, they are just commonizing, they are just commonly saying. Krishna, while playing flute and then going into the forests, okay, you can put that gopis thing, go back, 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 next, back, back, back or ahead, go back, back, back. Okay, it comes ahead, I think. Next. This also can see. Krishna is playing flute there, right? While playing flute and going into the forest, he would turn his face back and looks at the gopis, right? So here gopis are specifically indicating, although there are two Vrajesha Tanayas, Vrajesha Sutayas going there, that person, that boy who is blackish complexion, who is turning his face towards us while playing his flute. They are indicating him. That Vrajesha Suta. Right. I think another is also there. That went back. This also. This, yeah. So Krishna specifically glances at the gopis while he is going. Right? He's playing flute, but his focus, one eye is there also. Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor. Jiva Goswami says, though they describe Krishna Balaram externally and try to hide their real emotions for Krishna, they cannot do so. Sometimes they come out also. Like that. Now, this Prabhupada's disciples, they say that one has to see Krishna unconditionally. Sarva dharman parityadya, and take darshan of Krishna only. Like that. Those who give up all shyness and steadiness to drink the nectar of that face playing the flute have fortunate senses and not others. Let's abandon family traditions, shyness, self-control. Today, let us give up all family tradition and everything. Yes, let us see, touch, hear and smell him. But how is it possible since we are so shy? One gopi answers. That face releases sidelong glances. We are shy, we can't go forward, right? How can we access that smile and the face of Krishna? One gopi says, that face constantly releases sidelong glances. Right? Kataksha moksham. That is the last line. Yairva nipitam anurakta kataksha moksham. Anurakta. The glances are filled with love. Right? Anurakta kataksha moksham. He will search you out and release the arrow of his glance. You need not go. He will search you. Right? When it strikes you, you will be agitated with love and forget your shyness and control. Right, some gopis are saying this is an obstacle of social customs and shyness and control. How can we access his face? Another gopi answers, he constantly releases sidelong glances, you can access. Right? He will reach you. So sidelong glances, where else they are mentioned? We just discussed. Kavasa Heta Viraham Purushottamasya Prema Avaloka Ruchirasmita Valgu Jalpai. Right, Sthairyam Samanamaharan Madhumaninam. So, Premavaloka Ruchirasmita. So his pleasing smiles and hearty appeals and loving glances, sidelong glances, prema avaloka, like that. So, and even Dwarakavasis also say, katham vayam natha chirosite svai tvai prasanna drishtyakhila tapasoshanam jive mate sundara hasa shobhitam apashyamana vadanam manoharam. Now when we are discussing about the glances of Krishna, like we can't relate to what gopis are experiencing, but for us, glance of Krishna means like that will bring out from our threefold miseries. From a sadhaka level, we can think of Krishna's glance in that way. Prema avaloka ruchira smita is like way beyond comprehension for us. But this katham vayam nata achira asite tvai prasanna drishtya akhila tapa soshanam. This is the first canto, 11th chapter. Dwarkavasis say, prasanna drishti akhila tapa soshanam. It can completely vanquish the ocean of misery if someone glances, Krishna glances on him. Jive mate sundara hasa shobhitam. If you don't get your glance and smile, how can we even live? Apashyamana vadanam manoharam. Like that. That should be the approach of a sadhaka. When sadhaka is discussing the beautiful form of Krishna or beauty of Krishna, he should, like one way is to, he should relate to, his fallen condition and how Krishna is uplifting him from fallen condition, because he is not yet qualified to experience that loving emotions with Krishna. Okay, like the advanced devotees. Dwarkavasis. Katham vayam natha. I think 1.11.9 or 10, one of them. 1.11.10, okay. And they say, Aho sanatha bhavatasma yadvayam, traivishtapanam api dooradarshanam, premas mitas nigdha nirikshanananam, pasyema rupam tava sarvaso bhagam. Premas mitas nigdha nirikshanananam. So Krishna's face is constantly emanating such loving, affectionate glances on his devotees, right? The devotees can't just tolerate any separation from that face. Like that. Hasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra sokashru sagar visoshana matyudaram. That is there. Now next verse. Again, they mentioned Balramji. Chutapravala barhas takabo palabja malana prukta paridhana vichitra veshau madhyo vireja turalam pasupala goshtyam range yathanata varau kvachagaya manau.
Dressed in a charming variety of garments upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds, Krishna and Balram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of the dancers appearing on a dramatic stage, and sometimes they sing.
Chotapravala. Chotapravala means young sprouts of mango trees, right? Mango, small mango sprouts. So chota pravala barha, peacock feathers, then stabaka, bunches of flowers, right? Utpala, lotuses, abja, lilies, mala, garlands. So their heads are decorated with all these things. Although their mothers are decorating him with their pearl necklaces and so many other things, and golden ornaments, so they take a back seat. In Vrindavan, all these flower ornaments, leaves, twigs, they take more prominence in decoration than all the other costly golden ornaments and pearl necklaces, etc. Right? We see this first verse of Brahmaji's prayers. Naumidyate bravapushe taditambaraya gunjavatamsa paripichalasan mukhaya vanyasraji kavala vetra vishana venu lakshmasriye mridupade pashuvangajaya. When Narayan is described, Kaustubhamani, Sri Vatsa Chihna, then other things, Kaumodaki, then Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma, helmet, crown, all those are described. But when Krishna has to be described, the highest form of description of absolute truth is contained with all the simple forest flowers. right? Naomi idyate abravapushe, his body is of dark complexion. Taditambaraya, his cloth is of lightening color, right? Gunjavatamsa, he wears gunjamala. Paripichalasanmukhaya, he is wearing, his face is resplendent with peacock feather. It costs how much? 2 rupees, 3 rupees. But Krishna's face becomes resplendent by wearing peacock feather. Gunjavatamsa paripichalasanmukhaya, vanyasraje, forest flowers, simple forest flowers, not the ornamental flowers which are available in, you know, the other market or whatever. Paripichalasanmukhaya, vanyasraje, kavala, vetra, vishana venu, simple food of curd rice, simple stick, not some, you know, sophisticated weapons to control, just a stick to control the calves and cows. Vetra vishana venu, not some very heavy, you know, harmonium or veena or guitar or sitar or violin, not that, just simple bamboo with some holes in it. Kavala vetra vishana venu. Lakshmasriye, don't underestimate this form. He may be looking like a small 5-year-old kid with all the simple ornaments and simple food and other things. But Lakshmasriye, this form of cowherd boy in Vrindavan is complete with all opulences. Mrudupade Pashupangajaya, with his very soft, tender lotus feet, he is entering the forest of Vrindavan and marking it with his lotus footprints. Right? Pasupangajaya. Pasupangajaya. That shows the superiority of Nanda Maharaj also over Vasudev and over all devotees who are in Vatsalya Rasa. Krishna had so many fathers in various incarnations. But Nanda Maharaj, as a father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he reserves the highest position in Vatsalya Rasa as father. So here, Chota Pravala Barha Stabaka Utpalabja. So all these beautiful small ornaments are there, flower ornaments. They had lovely peacock feathers in their hair along with the gems. They appear to be wearing a small portion of cloud accompanied by constellations and a rainbow. When Krishna is wearing some mango sprouts and some forest flowers here, that is resembling that he's taking a piece of cloud and putting here with all the stars and constellations. That's how they were shining. And their strong bodies were worshipped by fragrance of their garlands. See the kind of comparison Harivamsa makes. Their bodies were worshipped by the fragrance of their garlands, surrounded by bees. Right? They had an extraordinary dress in the form of loud humming of bees. They were wearing garlands, and bees are constantly surrounding their garlands, and their bodies are being worshipped by the fragrance of the garlands, and they were constantly surrounded by the bees, which is like another dress. Right? They have one dress. On top of it, they have garlands. They have another dress surrounding them. That is bees. Humming bees. So, about Krishna and Balaram, one mention is there. One was, Balaramji is whitish with a blue cloth, and Krishna is bluish with a yellow cloth. Right? When they bring the cows to Gokul, all the distress of the seers will disappear. Like that. Dressed in charming variety of garments, garlands, peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, flower buds, Krishna and Balaram are shining magnificently amongst the assembly of gopas. Then Harivamsa says, holding their sticks and ropes, wandering in the various forests to herd the cows while playing their flutes, making the mountains move, the water motionless, and make lifeless entities manifest opposite qualities. Krishna can manifest opposite natures in various living entities through his flute. Right? If you remember in Govardhan Leela, Radhananda Maharaj explains, Krishna was standing, holding the Govardhan, and all the gopas and gopis were surrounding him. And at one point, Krishna just picked up his flute and started playing. And Madhumangal says, Krishna, don't play flute. Your flute will make inanimate objects into animate and animate objects into inanimate. Right? If you play a flute, all the animate gopas and gopis will start dancing. And if you play a flute, the inanimate Govardhan starts melting. Right? And it will inundate us. Forget about Indra and his rain. Govardhan will first inundate us. Don't play flute. But Krishna plays flute. But because another devotee gives an explanation, no, Govardhan will not do like that, right? Now, Govardhan's specific service is control its emotions and protect us, right? So Govardhan will not inundate us. It will not melt now. Don't worry, let Krishna play flute. Like that. So actually, gopis are saying all these verses because gopis want to go into the forest along with all the boys and cows and then participate in the pastimes of Krishna in the forest. But they can't do. They can't go like that. They can't violate the social customs so much. Right? They concealed and they started peering through the creepers to see Krishna and Balaram dancing. We have one photo of Krishna Balaram dancing also. Right? So gopis were sometimes hiding behind the creepers and then started seeing Krishna and Balaram dancing with the gopas. Right? Sometimes gopas also would hide behind the lotus stems and then hide. But their faces were resembling the lotuses. You can't make out whether it is a lotus or gopa. Right? So they also resemble like lotuses only. So, but because they could not go, they sang this song in ecstatic love. So Krishna Balaram were satisfied with the praise of others. They were proud of their own singing. So Jiva Goswami says, in the second verse, they were concealing their emotions. In the third verse, they can no longer conceal because of intense feelings of love. And in the fourth verse, they conceal their love to some degree. So like throughout the Venu Gita, gopis' attempt to conceal their feelings of love is seen. And sometimes their failure is also seen. Right? Now, Vichitra Veshav, there is some comment on Vichitra Veshav. Their heads were filled with bunches of flowers and within which they placed mango buds and peacock feathers. That is one. We can dress like that once. So their ears were filled with inner portions of water lilies. See, in the water lilies, the inner portion is a little yellowish, will come out, right? So that is there. And in their right hands, they were play lotuses. They were playing with the lotuses. They were twirling the lotuses constantly. There is abundance there. For us to get flowers for some festival means you have to buy. There is a scarcity of flowers. You have to think twice. But they have abundance. You know, dancing. Other boys would also play instruments and dance skillfully. Otherwise, dancing would not be so beautiful. If only two people are dancing and all others are watching, where is the fun? So Krishna will give prominence to other gopas also. You can dominate me. No problem. Right? You can also dance. You can also fight. Sometimes you can also win. I will lose. Like that. So in one of the second kind of purports, Prabhupada says that no head of a company or no CEO of a company will give the same facilities to his peon. He will experience certain facilities and his peon should be on a lower seat, lower facilities, right? Lower salary, everything. And all the clerks and other employees in the company, they will not get the equal privileges like the CEO of a company. But Krishna is not like that. In the spiritual world, Krishna will give equal amount of enjoyment to all the residents of spiritual world. In fact, he gives more enjoyment to them than he himself experiences. And to understand what they are enjoying, he can take an incarnation and come. Right? That is the topmost of the servants. She is enjoying a lot. What is she experiencing? I want to experience. And he would take her mood and her complexion and then comes as Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So no other boss will do like this. Krishna is the boss with the mood of servitor or whatever. So other comments by acharyas, they say that there is a gradual development in the first five verses that the gopis speak. In the previous verses, they said the cowherd boys had success for their eyes since they could constantly see Krishna at the time. So another perspective of the previous verses is they were saying akshanvatam phalamidam. One who sees Krishna and Balaram like this entering the forest are very fortunate. Who are they actually? Cows and boys, gopas. So they were appreciating the gopas and they were feeling bad that we don't have their fortune. In each of those verses, gopis would appreciate, say, either cows or gopas or Vrindavan land or peacocks or does or demigod wives or whatever, and then say, we don't have that fortune. They were like morose, right? They were frustrated. So the reason for frustration is fear of public opinion. Why gopis are unable to access the privileges that all these animals or birds or gopas and other people are having, just the fear of public opinion. That is causing frustration for them. Right? And just in the previous verse, 7th verse, they said, Akshanvatam phalam, that gopas' eyes are fulfilled, their lives are successful because they are seeing Krishna and Balaram dancing. And in the second verse, 8th verse, they say that the gopas not only see Krishna Balaram, but they experience happiness with singing and dancing amidst the group. So it's not just seeing happiness, it's actually participation in their activities. They are more fortunate, they're most fortunate. So gopas are appreciating the gopis. So the Madhurya gopis are appreciating the Sakya gopas. Like that. Now comes the glories of Venu, Murali. Murari is Murali. Okay? That will come. So before we enter the 9th verse, which is about the flute, some comments from Anandavrindavan Champu. So Krishna's face looked very attractive, brightened by his beautiful white teeth, smiling and shining, and while he is playing flute. So this Murali of Krishna is devoid of all defects. Even though it is full of holes, it is devoid of all defects. Someone who is having some object which is having holes is defective, but he has no defects. Second thing, flute is hard. It's not like butter, it's hard. Although flute is hard, it can soften the hearts of everyone. Whose hearts are hard? Who are heartless people? That is the effect of Krishna's Murali. Though derived from bamboo, so Vamsha, the family lineage of the flute is bamboo trees, right? That is considered to be very glorious family lineage, bamboo family. So although it is coming from a good family, glorious family, it can infect all the chaste women with intense attachment to Madhupati. Right? So chaste women will just leave their chastity there and then they will come to Krishna. Right? That because of the flute, because they got attracted to the flute song. And although the flute is hollow, it holds streams of ragas. If some object is hollow, it cannot hold something. Okay, if the bottle has an opening here, it can't hold this water. So flute is hollow. But although it is hollow, it is holding so many brilliant ragas. And those ragas cannot be played by Shiva, Brahma, Narada, or Indra, or anyone who are expert musicians. They cannot play. But the flute in Krishna's hand will play all the ragas. Okay, and all the demigods will get mesmerized. Where is this raga? Right, it's not there in our musical dictionaries. Right, it's not there in our musical knowledge. Like that. And this flute is, although it is very simple and sweet, it influences the heart of the listener according to his mood. Right? So, according to the mood of listeners, it manifests nectar to some people and it can manifest poison also. For example, Kamsa hears the flute. Kamsa hears the Venu Gita. What will happen to him? It seems like death for him. Like that. But gopis, because they are in right mood, they can do it. Then it can cause rivers to freeze like solid, and it can melt the solid mountains into rivers of ecstasy. So rivers will become mountains, mountains will become rivers. Right? That is the effect of this flute. So dead trees spring to life with fresh green leaves. Sages fixed in Brahman become restless and become agitated. Brahman realization means no agitation. That is their highest purpose in life. No agitation. But they hear flute, they become so agitated. So among all relishable objects, the best thing is the sound of Krishna's flute, which completely maddens one in bliss. It removes the anxieties of people and stops the movement of birds and animals. Birds are so restless, but they become still like sages. And sages become restless. So all opposite things manifest when Krishna plays flute. Thus the sound of Krishna's flute is a treasure house of all wonders. All glories to the super excellent vibration of Krishna's flute. So with that introductory note, we'll enter the flute verse, 9th verse. Gopyah kimacharadayam kushalam smavenur. दामोदराधरसुधाम अपि गोपिकानां भुङ्क्ते स्वयं यदवशिष्टरसं हृदिन्यौ हृष्यत्वचोश्रुमुचुस्तरवो यथार्याः.
My dear gopis, what auspicious activity must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of the Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste of us gopis? For whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on their body.
So gopis are saying, what auspicious activities that this flute did, right? It's enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips constantly, independently, right? When others are not having that taste, it is completely enjoying, not leaving anything. And their forefathers, the flute's forefathers, bamboo trees, which are on the shores of Yamuna and rivers, they are shedding tears of pleasure. What is the tears? The sap that comes out of the trees. Right, that is considered the tears of pleasure. The grass that grows on earth's surface, that is considered hair standing on end. Right, the lotuses that are coming out of river Yamuna, that is considered Yamuna's hair standing on end. Right, the sap that is coming out of trees, that is ecstasy, the tears of the trees, like that. So mother is river, fathers are trees, like that. How come mother is river? Because it is giving the nourishment. All the trees are nourished by water. Water is coming from river. So mother, river on whose bank bamboos will grow. So she feels jubilation. Right? Blooming lotuses, flowers are standing on her body. So now trees are crying. How? Through the sap or honey. Honey is also considered the tears of trees. Upon hearing Krishna's glories, devotees shed tears of joy and experience horripilation. Similarly, upon hearing Krishna's flute song, and trees are displaying symptoms of bhava. Why? Two ways. Why trees are expressing symptoms of bhava or shedding ecstatic tears? Two reasons. One, because their child has become such an exalted devotee flute of Krishna. Right? Become exalted devotee or exalted flute? Devotee flute of Krishna. Second, they are unhappy. You cry tears when you are happy and when you are morose. They are simultaneously happy and morose. They are happy because their child got that privilege. They are unhappy because they are unable to play part in Krishna's pastimes themselves. They are just locked up, right, on the banks of river only. Like that, with Krishna themselves, or they cannot get the nectar of Krishna's lips like their child, right? Like that. Why should they lament? Now someone may question, they are just throwing some sap and honey and not giving this interpretation, right? How is it fitting? Why should they lament? Right? They should be happy like that. Now trees are actually just like intelligent persons. Sanatana Goswami gives this answer. Trees are like intelligent human beings, right? Intelligent persons. That's why they have tears, they have ecstasies, they can, shed tears. Like that. They also suffer. When they are unable to attain the goal of life, they are unable to attain Krishna's association, they also feel unhappy. Like that. Now, flute's audacity is described. It's not ordinary sound, but the cries of bliss the flute experiences in Krishna's association. When Krishna is playing the flute is becoming ecstatic. And what comes out of flute is the ecstasy of the flute, because it received such a beautiful reciprocation from Krishna, like that. So here gopis are apparently expressing envy towards the flute, towards the gopis, or towards everyone else. Specifically here towards the flute. So gopis are experiencing sanchari bhava of envy, arisen out of intense love. Like generally envy is considered negative. Envy, anger, all these are negative emotions. But they can manifest when someone is in ecstatic love also. Jiva Goswami says, though the flute appears to be a dry piece of wood, how many pious acts has this flute performed? in this life or previous lives, we will also do such pious activities and become like a flute. Right? And specifically they are saying Damodara Adhara Sudha. Why this name Damodara is mentioned? Because when Krishna is tied with Dama, tied with a rope by Mother Yashoda, all the gopis also have seen this. Right? So their relation, their attraction towards Krishna began there only. When Krishna was three years old, when he was being born by Mother Yashoda, gopis saw, and then they developed attraction towards Krishna at that point only. And that continued here. That led, that is like a sprout for the current emotions of gopis. So therefore, we gopis should enjoy him. The flute is a male. How can a male enjoy with Krishna? Right? Flute is a male, it is unsuitable to enjoy with him. The flute always drinks the nectar of his lips as its own enjoyment, and we don't get anything else. So like that. Gopi also means they protect. Gop means gopya, means secret. They keep their existence, their bodies, they confidential, aspiring for Krishna alone. That's why they are called gopis. Okay? So, flute is enjoying everything. Not even a drop remains. Now, in Harivamsha, the prayer of Srimati Radharani is mentioned. That is, I pray for the body of a bamboo flute. Right? Not the body of a respectable woman. Okay? If I am having the body of a respectable woman, it is only an obstacle for me in my service to Krishna, in my approach towards Krishna. But flute, see how much constant personal association it is having. Krishna, attracted with eagerness, with great affection, will play the flute. The experience is impossible in any other body. As a flute, with the with this consciousness, I will forget who I am. But Krishna will know that I have become a piece of flute. No one will know, no one will recognize that flute is me, but Krishna will know. So I will have reciprocation with Krishna, I will have constant association with Krishna. Let me become a flute. Like that. And Radharani also prays something. Oh, Makara earring. You are constantly, you know, kissing the cheeks of Damodar. It comes in Lasat Kundalam Gokale Bhrajamanam. Oh, flute, you are constantly tasting, you know, Krishna's, Damodar Adharasudha. Oh, garland, you are constantly embracing all his limbs. That is proper for you. It's not your fault. But we are deprived of all this association because of being in the bodies of respectable women. Like that. Flowers, pearls, diamonds do not leave his chest. Like that. That's why gopis have come out of these boundaries. Pati sutanvayat bhratru bandhavat ati vilangyate achyutagata gati virastavo udgita mohitaha kitavayoshita kastya jennishi. For a respectable woman, a chaste woman from a respectable family, to leave all of them, pati suta anvayat bhratru bandhavat, and come out in the middle of the night is such an unimaginable sacrifice, unimaginable adventure, sahas, right? They have done, they have left, relinquished everything else just to serve Krishna. Right? That is the glory of the gopis. So now, at the time of Venu Gita, all the gopis were having restricted emotions. They are unable to freely express their emotions, right? They cannot physically approach Krishna, and they cannot even verbally speak about Krishna also at this point. They are fearing the public opinion. But when this Venu Gita goes towards Gopi Gita, they actually come in the middle of the night. Okay, and then they say, Pati Sutanvayat Bhratru Bandhavat. And after they go there, what will Krishna say? You go back. Right, you go back. Why did you come here? Then they say it's not proper. Kastya jen nishi. In the middle of the night, you called us by playing the flute. And now you are asking us to go away. How is it possible? It's not fair. Like that. So now after describing the fortune of the flute, the gopis are describing the fortune of the whole land of Vrindavan and the peacocks. This is another very beautiful verse. Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo vitano tikirtim. Yaddevaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmi Govinda venu manumattamayura nrityam Prekshadri svanvavataranya samasta sattvam
friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth. Having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki, the peacocks dance madly. When they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned.
So, now the gopis are saying that Vrindavanam Sakhi, oh my dear Sakhis, close friends. So one gopi is saying this. Vrindavanam Bhuvo Vitanoti Kirtim. Vrindavan is spreading the glories of this earth planet. Vrindavan is becoming more glorious than Vaikuntha. Right? So Vrindavan is spreading the glory of earth. Why? Because it has obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna. Yad Devaki Suta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. Devaki Suta. Here Devaki is also Mother Yashoda. Right, there are different meanings for this Devaki Sutta. One, they wanted to maintain the confidentiality. They did not want to mention directly their emotions towards Krishna. They say Devaki Sutta. Means it's referring to wife of Vasudeva. Krishna is sometimes son of Vasudeva also, as Gargamuni predicted. And Devaki happens to be the wife of Vasudeva. So they say Devaki Sutta. Mathura Devaki. And there is another meaning. Dvenamni Nanda Bharyaya Yashoda Devaki Ticha. Nanda Bharya, the wife of Nanda Maharaj, she has Dvenamni, two names. One is Devaki, one is Yashoda. So Yashoda's another name is Devaki. Ata Sakhyam Abhutasya Devaki Shauri Jayaya. Why that name? Because Devaki and Yashoda Mai are such great close friends that sometimes they can be called interchangeably, right? So they call each other, sometimes Yashoda can be called as Devaki also, like that. They are such close friends, that is one reason. So here Devaki Sutta is indicating Krishna specifically, and Devaki is indicating Yashoda only. Yad Devaki Sutta Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi. So this land of Vrindavan has obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of the son of Devaki, or son of Yashoda. That's why it has become so glorious. That's why it has become more glorious than Vaikuntha also. And Padambuja Labdha Lakshmi can happen in Dwarka also, Mathura also, Ayodhya also, everywhere. But what is special about Vrindavan? No slippers. It's direct contact of Krishna's lotus feet, marking all the footprints with elephant, gourd, and then lotus. And all those auspices are directly planted, printed on her surface, right? Nowhere else it will happen, right? And in no other planet it will happen, right? Only on this earthly planet, only in Vrindavan. So that is about the glory of Vrindavan, the first two lines. So Vrindavan is a place of Krishna's pastimes. They don't occur in any other world. So this earth planet is so unique, Sridhar Swami says. Then, yeah, Vishnu wearing slippers, we discussed, Sanatana Goswami says. Then Jiva Goswami says, Gopis call Krishna as the son of Devaki because of the words of Garga. This also we discussed. Now coming to the third line. Govinda Venu Manumatta Mayura Nrityam. So Govinda Venum, Lord Govinda, Krishna, is playing flute. Here Krishna is addressed as Govinda. Govinda here means, it means according to dictionary meaning, he is taking care of cows. That's all. Krishna will become popular as Govinda only after lifting Govardhan hill, and Indra will come and then give him his name. Coronate him. That has not yet happened. So here gopis are addressing Krishna as Govinda just because he is taking care of cows. Right? So Govinda Venum Anumatta Mayura Nrityam. When Govinda is playing flute, Anumatta, they are becoming intoxicated. Who are they? Mayura, peacocks. And what are they doing after getting intoxicated? Nrityam, they started dancing. Right? Prekshadrisan Avataranya Samasta Sattvam. Avaratanya Samasta Sattvam. Now, Preksha means by witnessing all this. Now, Krishna is playing flute, and all the peacocks are getting intoxicated and dancing. Preksha and others are seeing. Adrisanu, who is seeing and from where they are seeing? Adrisanu, on the peaks of the hills. Adrisanu. Avatara, Anya Samasta Sattvam. Sattvam means creatures. Anya samasta sattva means all other creatures are avarata. Avarata means they are stunned. Peacocks are dancing, Krishna is playing flute in the midst of peacocks, and all others are stunned to watch this show. Right? They were just silently observing what Krishna is doing, what is this happening here. They were so absorbed and astonished seeing this beautiful scene. Krishna is dancing, peacocks are dancing. That is about the second two lines. So actually peacocks would approach Krishna and request him to dance and sing. Krishna plays flute. And then peacocks are dancing around Krishna in a circle. Krishna also dances. Krishna also sings. Krishna also plays flute. Right? So he satisfied Krishna so gratefully, and the king of peacocks was extremely satisfied with Krishna's reciprocation and gift Krishna a peacock feather. Right? So that was, Krishna was so grateful for this offering, he accepts that offering and puts right on top of his head. That's how Krishna became grateful towards peacocks. That is the reciprocation. So gentle animals, other animals like deer, does, then they greatly relish this transcendental entertainment. When someone is dancing and singing, that is entertainment. But this is transcendental entertainment, filled with love and ecstasy. So they are watching from peaks of hills. Why they are watching from peaks of hills? Why can't they come close? Because they want to have a big view, you know, good view. Right? If sometimes you see watching movies, some are like very close to the screen, some are little far away from the screen. Right? Different views will have different flavors. So some of these people, some of these animals are stunned in ecstasy watching from a distance only. So peacocks are dancing because they mistake him for a dark rain. Generally, when do peacocks dance? When they see clouds. Yesterday we discussed, right? But Krishna's body is resembling a dark cloud. Seeing Krishna, thinking that he is a cloud, peacocks are dancing. Like that. Otherwise, they would remain motionless in bliss like others. All others are stunned. They were motionless. Peacocks would also become motionless if they have not seen Krishna as a cloud. Related to these peacocks with the highest natural affection for Krishna, all other species, by Lord's mercy, developed affection for clouds, which were similar to Krishna after hearing Govinda's flute. Now, peacocks were attracted to Krishna and clouds also. So now, others are attracted to Krishna only so far. Now, they also developed attraction towards clouds, seeing peacock's attraction. Yeah. Many other points are there. Seeing that Matta Mayura Nrityam Preksha, Krishna began to play a flute, you know, more and more, like that. Then actually gopis are thinking, see, peacocks attained such a perfection. We are most unfortunate. We are constantly in dissatisfaction only, right? So we do not have the capacity to attain the good fortune of Vrindavan. We worship the peacocks because their good fortune at every moment, because of their good fortune. So there is no lack of appreciation in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, every devotee appreciates the service and ecstasy or absorption of other devotee. They can never minimize the position of other devotees. Where are gopis? Where are peacocks? But gopis are feeling proud for the fortune of peacocks, and they are aspiring for the fortune of peacocks. Right? They are more fortunate than us. They are greater devotees than us. They got more privilege to associate with Krishna so closely. We don't have that. So like that. The domestic animals in the house are worthy of worship. We are more condemned than the animals since they can freely see Krishna, whereas we cannot see even his shadow. Gopis were saying we can't even see the shadow of Krishna, but others are personally associating with Krishna, dancing with him. So that is their humility. 11th verse. Oh, you want to show? Peacocks from little Krishna. You put the sound nicely. Mike the Guru. Eleventh verse. Dhanyasma mudhagatayo api harinya eta Yananda nandana mupatta vichitra vesham Akarnya venuranitam sahakrishna saraha Pujam dadhur virachitam pranayava lokaihi Dhanyasma mudhagatayo api harinya eta Yananda nandana mupatta vichitra vesham Akarnya venuranitam sahakrishna sara Pujam dadhur virachitam pranayava lokaihi
Blessed are all these foolish deer because they have approached Maharaj Nanda's son, who is gorgeously dressed and is playing on his flute. Indeed, both the doe and the bucks worship the Lord with looks of love and affection.
So here is a description of the doe and buck, their worship and love and affection, right? Blessed are the foolish deer. Because they approached Nanda's son. Yananda Nandana Mupatta Vichitra Vesham, who was having Vichitra Vesham, who was gorgeously dressed in and playing his flute. Right? Akaranya Venu Ranitam Sahakrishna Saraha Pujam, they are worshipping. Dadhur Virachitam Pranayavalokaihi. So here gopis are feeling such great appreciation for the fortune of the does and deers also. And they were specifically saying, all the deer are attracted to Krishna and their wives are also attracted to Krishna and the husbands of their female deers are not stopping them. They were directing their wives also towards Krishna, right? But our husbands will not allow us to go towards Krishna, right? Krishna is the ultimate object of attraction for the male deer, and they are encouraging the wives also to get attracted to Krishna, right? Search him, urge their wives to go to Krishna. They even urge their wives also go to Krishna. Thus they consider other household lives fortunate and become joyful. Their household lives, sorry. So our husbands are jealous of Krishna, gopis say. And because of their lack of devotion to him, they cannot even stand to smell his fragrance. Therefore, what is the use of our lives? Sort of frustration, gopis were saying like this. This is a very special verse where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is going into Jharkhand forest, he would recite this verse. He would remember this verse. Dhanyasma modhagata yopi harinya eta. So when Jharkhand is there, yeah. So when Mahaprabhu is going to Jharkhand forest, he would remember this verse. The second picture is Mahaprabhu in the midst of Vrindavan. When Mahaprabhu is in the midst of Vrindavan, all the cows and deer and peacock, they identify Mahaprabhu as Krishna and then they come towards him, lick him. Spoke on this. Twelfth verse. కృష్ణం నిరీక్ష వనితోత్సవ రూపశీలం కృష్ణం నిరీక్ష వనితోత్సవ రూపశీలం శ్రుత్వా చ తత్ క్వణిత వేణు వివిక్త గీతం దేవ్యో విమానగతయః స్మరనున్నసార బ్రశ్యత్ ప్రసూన కబరా ముముహుర్వివీహ వినీవ్య.
బ్యూటీ అండ్ క్యారెక్టర్ క్రియేట్ అ ఫెస్టివల్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ఉమెన్ ఇండీడ్ వెన్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్ వైఫ్ flying in aeroplanes with their husband catch sight of him and hear his resonant flute song, their hearts are shaken by Cupid and they become so bewildered that the flower fall out of their hair and their belt loosen.
So krishnam niriksha, by seeing Krishna and his rupa shilam, his form and character, vanitotsava, all vanitas means strees, means ladies, utsava, they celebrate. It's a great celebration for all the ladies to see Krishna, right? Whether it be apsaras, they who wanted to see Krishna in the Trinavarta episode, whether it be demigoddesses who wanted to see Krishna during this Venugita episode, whether it be Mathura ladies who wanted to see Krishna when he entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa, when he entered Mathura, or whether it be all the Brahmana patnis, okay, who were asked by Krishna for some food, right? Whoever it may be, he is Vanitotsava. Right? All the ladies get attracted to Krishna, either in Madhurya Bhav or Vatsalya Bhav. Vanitotsava Rupashilam Shrutva, by hearing, cha tat kvanita venu vivikta geetam, very clear, beautiful song of his flute, when all the demigoddesses hear, they can just get attracted. దేవ్యో విమానగతయ స్మరణున్నసార, దే వర్ ట్రావెలింగ్ ఇన్ ద విమాన, ద ఎయిర్ప్లేన్స్, అలాంగ్ విత్ దేర్ హస్బెండ్స్, దే వర్ సిటింగ్ ఇన్ ద ల్యాబ్స్ ఆఫ్ దేర్ హస్బెండ్స్, స్టిల్ దే గెట్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టు కృష్ణ అండ్ దేర్ హస్బెండ్స్ విల్ నాట్ సీ ఎనీథింగ్. ఓ, గెటింగ్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టు కృష్ణ ఇస్ ది హయ్యెస్ట్ గోల్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. ఓకే, మై వైఫ్ ఈస్ గెటింగ్ అట్రాక్టెడ్, దట్స్ వెరీ గుడ్. సో దే వర్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ. రైట్, భృష్యత్ ప్రసూన కబర ముముహుర్ వినీహ్య. So the flowers will fall from them, like that. So demigods are not envious when their wives are attached to Krishna or attracted to Krishna, but our husbands are envious. Gopis were thinking like that. So it's natural for us to get attracted to Krishna. The demigods are there from different planets, they are getting attracted to Krishna, and Krishna is our own village boy. He's staying in our own village. What is the mistake if we get attracted to Krishna? Right? Why elders don't understand? Why the social customs don't allow us? That is their complaint. So the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute extended to all the corners of the universe. Everyone is getting attracted. And gopis, although they are simple village ladies, they were aware of this. They were aware that the residents of higher planetary systems also are getting attracted to Krishna. Although they were just doing, you know, churning their milk and then, you know, lifting the cow dung. They were doing such simple activities, but they were aware of what the demigoddesses are going through. Gopis thought they should not be blamed for their ecstatic conjugal attraction for Krishna, who after all was a cowherd boy from their own village and thus a natural object of their love. For every living entity, Krishna is the dearmost object of worship or love or affection. What to speak of gopis, who were his own village ladies? Demigods are always very refined in culture and intelligence. They regularly take their wives in airplanes along to see Krishna. Even the inferior deer, even the demigoddesses are fortunate. We poor human beings in an intermediate position are most unfortunate. Human being means superior to animals, inferior to demigods. So our superiors are happy. They are getting association of Krishna. Our inferiors, they are happy. They are getting association of Krishna. We are in intermediate stage, we are not getting association of Krishna. That is the complaint of the gopis. So while gopis are saying like this, that they about their misfortune, once Krishna enters this Mathura and enters the wrestling arena of Kamsa, all the Mathura ladies see him And then they appreciate the fortune of gopis. Right? So, advanced devotee means he never feels that he had enough association of Krishna or enough devotion towards Krishna. He always considers, or he or she always considers himself or herself in a lower position than other devotees. You see, one verse I told him to put also. Prabhu, we can go to the next slides. This is Mathuravasi's appreciation, Mathura lady's appreciation towards the gopis. Next. Some of the last slides. Gopya, this one. Gopya tapah kimacharan yadamushya rupam. Lavanya saramasamordhvamananya siddham. Drigbhih pivanjanu savabhinavam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashasriya aishwarasya. So all the Mathura ladies are saying, Gopya tapah kimacharan. What austerities that the gopis have done. While the gopis are saying, what austerities did this flute do? What austerities did all the does and bucks they do? So other Mathuravasis, they are appreciating these gopis. Gopya tapah kimacharan. What austerities they have gone through. Right? Yad amushya rupam. So they have attained this result of yad amushya rupam. This beautiful form of Krishna they are witnessing constantly. Lavanya sar. What is the glory of that form of Krishna? Lavanya saram. It is the essence of all sweetness. Lavanya saram. It's the epitome of all sweetness. Lavanya saram asama urdhvam. There is nothing equal to this form. Asama urdhvam. There is nothing superior to it. There is nothing equal to it. Asama urdhvam ananya siddham. Why did Krishna get this form? How did he get this form? It is natural. It is innate in him. Right? He did not get this from somewhere else. Ananya siddham. Right, it's already siddham from him, within himself. Ananya siddham, drigbhi pibanti anusava abhinavam. While drinking the beautiful form of Krishna through eyes, drigbhi pibanti anusava abhinavam. It appears newer and newer. Abhinavam, durapam. It's very rare to attain. Only vrajavasis, vrajagopis can attain. Anubhavam. Durapam, abhinavam, durapam. Then, don't think that it is only beautiful. Don't think that Krishna's form is only beautiful. It is endowed with all other opulences also. Ekanta dhama yashasa shriya aishwarasya. Ekanta dhama, the one and only abode of all aishwaryas, which are headed by yashaha, fame, shriya, beauty, aishwarasya, and many other aishwaryas. So all six opulences are complete in this beautiful form. And gopis are getting the fortune to constantly witness this form. What austerities they have done. So Mathura ladies are astonished seeing the fortune of gopis. While gopis are appreciating the fortune of everyone in Vrindavan, and they are thinking themselves as unfortunate. Now gopis appreciate the fortune of the cows and calves of Vrindavan in the 13th verse. Gavascha Krishna Mukha Nirgata Venugita Piyusha Muttabita Karna Putaih Pibantya Shavasnutastanapaya Kavalas Matasthur Govindamatma Nidud Drishashrukala Sprishantya.
Their upraised ears as vessels. The cows are drinking the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. The calves, their mouth full of milk from their mother's moistened nipples, stand still as they take Govinda within themselves through their tears-filled eyes and embrace him within their hearts.
Very beautiful verse, relation between cows and Krishna. So now gopis are appreciating all categories of devotees. Shantarasa devotees, Sakhirasa devotees, Vatsalyarasa devotees. Right? So now cows are in Vatsalya. Gopis are in Madhurya. Cows are in Vatsalya. Right? So they're appreciating their glory also. gavascha krishna mukha nirgata venu geeta. So all the cows are piyusham uttabhita karna putaihi pibantyaha. So piyusham means nectar, uttabhita karna putaihi. So their eyes are raised, right? They are opening their eyes like this, you know, and pibantyaha. They are drinking what? Krishna mukha nirgata venu geeta. The venu geeta that is emanating from Krishna's mukha, they were drinking it through their upraised ears. Okay? Gavascha krishna mukha nirgata venu geeta piyusha muttabita karna putaihi pibantyaha. They were drinking. Shavaha. Shavaha means calves, small cows. Shavaha snutastana payaha kavalaha smatasthur. So they were drinking milk from the udders of their mothers, with their mouths were full with milk. But govinda matmani drishastru kula sprishantyaha. But when they hear the flute sound of Krishna, they leave their drinking of milk only. Right? Their minds were attracted towards Krishna. Right? Govindam atmani. Their minds went into Govinda. Drisha ashrukalaha. With their eyes filled with tears, they stop this milk drinking process and then they just get attracted to Krishna and they get astonished. Like that. This is the attraction of cows and calves towards Krishna's flute. First, they describe the cows which have maternal affection, which is contrary to their madhurya bhava, in order to hide their emotions previously. Right? One is their appreciation towards all the devotees of Vrindavan. Second is they wanted to hide and conceal their feelings. Third, they were frustrated that they are unable to express those feelings. Right? That is, these are the emotions, different emotions that the gopis were undergoing while they were reciting Venu Gita. So Harivamsa says that first the cows reacted on hearing the flute. So Krishna's face showered constant nectar through the song of his flute and cows drank it through their ears. Right? So now cows were eating grass, green grass or dry grass, whatever. Cows were eating grasses. Now they hear the flute sound of Krishna through their ears, right? And they will taste it through their tongues and they stop tasting the grass. What is this grass? Right? What is coming through our ears is more tastier than what is going through our mouths. Right? They think like that. And they are unable to eat the grass anymore. Is this nectar? Can it not be tasted? So, to what this nectar can be compared? Right? We'll leave grass and then we'll take this nectar. Right? Piyusham. Piyusham uttabita karna putaihi pibantya. So gopis were saying, on hearing the flute, we and the cows attain the same state. But there is some difference. Cows, after hearing the flute, they can run towards Krishna and then constantly witness his beautiful face. They can see him playing the flute. But gopis can't do that. They can hear Krishna. They can just contemplate that Krishna is playing the flute. They can hear from a distance, but thus, they can't go ahead. But cows can go ahead. They can go towards Krishna. They can lick Krishna. They can do tickling for Krishna. Calves, they can just run and sit in his lap. They can do everything, but gopis cannot do it. Right? So the cows at every moment gaze at his moon-like face, but we do not know in which yuga we will gaze upon his face. Gopis were saying, in which yuga? Now you see, someone who is detached, if he is not given some privilege, for example, you are not interested in rasmalai. Rasmalai may be a very poor comparison. You are not interested in some mirchi item, okay, idli, something like that. If you are not given that idli, you will not miss it so much. But gopis have the appetite to see Krishna constantly and they feel tremendous amount of separation as if it is millions of yugas in one eye blink. In one eye blink is like millions of yugas for the gopis. For someone who has such a deep appetite and taste for seeing Krishna, if he is deprived of approaching Krishna and seeing Krishna, how will he feel? That we can only imagine not even a slightest trace of or glimpse of what they are feeling. Because we never have an experience of union with Krishna, how can we at all appreciate separation? Right? If someone, you know, someone who has never seen a rasmalai in his life, say some laborer or some poor middle class fellow or something like that, he says rasmalai, it doesn't make much sense to him. Someone who is constantly eating rasmalai every day, 10 or 20, whatever, and he's able to digest also, if 2-3 days, if you stop him from eating rasmalai, then he will feel separation. Like when the conditioned soul got disconnected from Krishna, in which millennium, and no one knows, he can't appreciate so much the feelings of separation. Right? Someone who has the experience of union only can appreciate the feeling of separation, can empathize with a person who is experiencing separation. For example, Yudhishthira Maharaj, in the first canto, 14th chapter, he is asking hundreds of questions to Yudhishthira, Arjuna. I mean, he is an intelligent person, number one. Number two, Narada Muni gave him hint that Krishna is going to disappear. Three, he is seeing so many dangerous omens, right? He can easily figure out that Krishna disappeared from this planet. Four, he saw Arjuna in such great dejection, which he never has witnessed. Having all these witnesses, an intelligent person like Yudhishthira Maharaj is unable to accept that Krishna disappeared. Right? All the questions he was asking in 14th chapter were only with the intention that there may be some more hope. Maybe Krishna has not disappeared. Okay, maybe this is the reason for his dejection. Maybe this is the reason for his dejection. Okay? I am hoping and expecting that Krishna's disappearance should not be the dejection, cause of dejection for Arjuna. That is his anticipation, like that. So that is, he's unable to tolerate the thought of separation from Krishna. So all these great devotees, when they're feeling separation from Krishna and then speaking such incoherent words, we can only imagine what they are undergoing. Okay? When we are unable to appreciate them, or when we are feeling bored or something like that, we can understand we are not at that level. It's natural for us, for conditioned souls, not to understand what they are undergoing. Like that. 14th verse. Prayo batatma vihaga munayo vanesmin. Krishnekshitam taduditam kalavenu geetam. Aruhya yedruma bhujan ruchira pravalan. Srinvanti milita drisho vigatanya vachaha.
Mother, in this forest, all the birds have risen onto the beautiful branches of the trees to see Krishna. With closed eyes, they are simply listening in silence to the sweet vibration of his flute, and they are not attracted by any other sound. Surely these birds are on the same level as great sages.
So birds are generally very restless. Morning one sparrow was eating that rice sevai. I just went close to sit on, to take my seat, and it just went away. And while just 5 seconds, if he is eating something, at least 50 times it will just, turn his face like that. So birds are so restless, right? And there is constant fear also in birds, right? So to make a bird stand still for a while is next to impossible. Right? Even when it rains also, when the bird will just do like this, and sometimes it does like this. Right? Birds are very restless. But birds have become so still, like sages. Sages who are doing manoeuvre, they are not moving for ages and hundreds of years. Birds have become like that by hearing Venu Gita. Right? Birds are resembling sages. So one commonality between the sages and birds are both live in forest. Right? But other commonalities are not there. But here birds are keeping their eyes closed, right? Observing silence. They are remaining motionless like the sages. All because of the hearing of Venu Gita. Even great sages become maddened by the sound of Krishna's flute, which is completely spiritual vibration. Aruhya ye dhruma bhujan ruchira pravalan. So they were sitting on the dhruma bhujan, on the branches of trees. Ruchira pravalan means having beautiful creepers and twigs, right? And what are they doing there, sitting? Srinvanti milita drishaha vikatanya vachaha. Srinvanti, they are just hearing. Milita drishaha, they are closing their eyes. They are hearing with their eyes closed, Right? Sometimes in our classes also we hear like that. But their words are not like that. Vigata anyavacha, stopping all other sounds. Right? Sometimes we make sounds with mobiles and all. But they are not like that. Because they are attracted to the unparalleled musical brilliance of Krishna. As we discussed earlier, Indra, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, being primordial gods, travel throughout the universe and have extensive knowledge of musical science, yet they become humbled. They have never heard or composed a music that which is emanating from Krishna's flute. So Krishna's flute song in Vrindavan is the topmost music. Krishna's form and decorations and dress, everything in Vrindavan is the topmost form, topmost manifestation of the Absolute Truth. Whatever Krishna does in Vrindavan is the highest leela, highest form, highest guna, highest qualities. Everything is highest in Vrindavan, right? All others take second rank, third rank, fourth rank, like that. First rank goes to Vrindavan, right? First prize, Vrindavan. Highest manifestation of Absolute Truth, whether it is in the form of dham or form or leela or guna or quality, anything. So gopis sometimes address each other as Amba. Here you see, prayo batamba vihaga manayo vanesmin. Amba, Amba means mother, literally. So you have experience, I don't know about Marathi, in Telugu, like we call, like Amma, so they call amongst them, even friends, small girls, they also call Amma like that. Sanskrit. Now 15 describes the reverse ecstasy. Correct, Amba, Devahuti. Nadyastada tadupadharya mukunda geetam avarta lakshita mano bhava bhagna veha alinganasthagatim urmi bhujair murarer grihananti padayugalam kamalotpalaha kamalopaharaha.
When the rivers hear the flute song of Krishna, their minds begin to desire him, and thus the flow of their current is broken, and their waters are agitated, moving around in whirlpools. Then with the arms of their waves, the river embrace Murari's lotus feet, and holding on to them, present offering of lotus flowers.
Nadya tada tadupadharya mukunda geetam. Now nadis, rivers. Rivers are wives of ocean, right? They were upadharya, they were perceiving Mukunda playing Geetam. Krishna is playing flute, right? They were seeing that. Avarta, by their whirlpools, right? Avarta, lakshita, manobhava. So they are, the manobhava is their conjugal desire. Bhagna vegaha, their vega, their currents were broken because of their mahabhav, because of their conjugal attraction towards Krishna. They just came out of their boundaries and approached towards Krishna. And did what? Alingana sthagatim urmi bhujair murare. Alingana, they embraced Krishna through their currents. Alingana sthagatim, they held stationary. Then urmi bhuja, with their arms. What are their arms? The waves are their arms. The lotuses are the hair standing on end. They were doing alingan. Is that one? It's very mild. There is another verse also. Another image also. So all the rivers were embracing Krishna's lotus feet, and one reference says rivers were embracing Krishna up to his neck. Right? They were making him wet completely. They were so ecstatic. Their tides were rising so high. Alingana sthagatim urmi bhujair murarer. Then what else? Grihananti, they seize pada yugalam kamala upaharaha. They are carrying lotus flowers of offerings and then offering them to Pada Yugalam, both of his lotus feet. Right? So this is the reverse reciprocation towards Krishna. And who are these water bodies? Mansi Ganga, Yamuna. So they were enchanted by Krishna's flute song. So gopis are implying, since many different types of living beings are overwhelmed by conjugal love for Krishna, why should we be criticized if we have intense desire for serving Krishna in conjugal relationship? Now Yamuna, all the rivers are females, birds are females, does and bucks, they are females, then demigoddesses, they are females, right? And except flute, most of the other things are females. So they are getting attracted to Krishna. If we get attracted to Krishna, what is the mistake? This is the like subdued, intense emotion that gopis are experiencing in this chapter. So next, it will break the boundaries. Just like river is breaking the boundaries and coming towards Krishna to embrace him, gopis also will break all the boundaries of social customs. Pati sotanvayata, bhratru bandhavat, ati vilangyate, achyutagata, and they come to Achyuta. Right? So, the sequence is this. First, the rivers, they first cut the lotuses by their currents. The lotuses were growing in the rivers. Rivers would cut them. Right? You pluck flowers, right? For offering, you pluck tulsi. Similarly, lotuses are also plucking lotuses. Rivers are also plucking lotuses through their currents. Right? And they go towards Krishna's lotus feet and grasp his feet. Then they embrace him, surrounding him with water up to the chest. Right? And increase the flow of water and offer him lotuses. Right? So offer lotuses to dear Krishna, born from the rivers, and particularly born in Vrindavan, becoming fixed by embracing their waves, acting as arms, the feet of Krishna. Okay, then ocean doesn't have any issue with the rivers. You are my waves, you are going towards Krishna. Ocean never says like that. Go, no problem. So when there is opposition to love, that love is intensified. Now what gopis are experiencing is much superior than all the others, rivers and other things. Because gopis are such exalted devotees, they were especially bestowed with these feelings of separation. An example is given. For example, if you tie a tiger or elephant with a chain, so far the elephant has not experienced what its strength is. If you tie, and if the elephant tries to release itself from the iron chains, then it will understand, oh, this much strength I have. It will break the chains. Like that. So now gopis, if they are given the opportunity to associate with Krishna, like all others who are getting opportunity, their intense emotions and separation, feelings of separation will not come out so prominently like this. Their desire will not be so intensified. Right? So when there is opposition to love, that love is intensified, according to Gopal Champu. So this is very important factor here. So there is opposition towards gopis thing because of social customs. Then now their love is getting more and more condensed. Now they are appreciating cloud. What to speak of residents of Vrindavan? Cloud, it's in the sky. That is also friend of Krishna. Drishtvatape vrajapashun saharama gopaihi sancharayantamanu venu mudirayantam prema pravruddha udita kusumavalibhi sakhyurvyadhat svavapusha buddha artha patram.
In the companies of Balram and the cowherd boys, Lord Krishna is continually vibrating his flute as he herds all the animals of Raja, even under the full heat of the summer sun. Seeing this, the clouds in the sky has expanded himself out of love. He is rising high and constructing out of his own body with its multitude of flower-like droplets of water, an umbrella for the sake of his friend.
So cloud is considered the friend of Krishna because both are have same color. Both are having same color. Krishna's color and cloud's color are same. They're friends. So now autumn clouds are sympathetic towards Krishna and Balaram. Drishtva apare vraja pashun saha rama gopaihi. So drishtva apare means atape. Drishtva atape. So drishtva, the clouds have seen. Atape. Atape Vrajapashun Saha Rama Gopahi. Vrajapashus, all the cows and calves of Vrindavan, along with Rama, means Balramji, and Gopas and Krishna, they were all suffering in the heat of monsoon, of autumn sun. So cloud took some sympathy. Right? Sancharayantam Anuvena Mudirayantam. So it also heard the flute of Krishna, which is loudly playing, and then it came out of prema. Prema pravruddha udita kusumavalabha. So the autumn sun, autumn cloud came on top of Krishna and gopas and calves, and then released some fine droplets on Krishna, because it is friend, to relieve them of the heat of summer, heat of autumn. So that is the friendship between Krishna and gopis, cloud. Now Krishna was nourished by the cloud, and then he again started playing flute with Mallara Raga. Here he is playing Mallara Raga on his flute. So, and the cloud relieves him of the heat by pacifying it with shadow and droplets. There are two ways in which the cloud is serving Krishna: with droplets of water, second with its shadow, shade. So now gopis are saying, though the clouds are inanimate and floating above everyone, because they have prema within, they serve Krishna by their water and shade. We are unfortunate. We surrender to him, accept him as the protection of our lives, and give him all respect. But without service to him, our lives are useless. Now, gopis have such great surrender towards Krishna, but they are not getting opportunity to render service to him like all other beings are doing. Right? They are aspiring for that service. So, they are not some people who want to go towards God to fulfill their own desires, or to just have the privilege of being with a big person, or just to have their own sense gratification. They are extremely eager to serve Krishna, and they are missing that opportunity to do service. That is their emotion. Jiva Goswami says, the cloud makes an umbrella out of his body. That umbrella is made of water droplets. Out of friendship, the cloud offers his own body as treasure. Right? The cloud is most fortunate, and we are unfortunate, since we cannot even see him sufficiently. Cloud is serving him, we are not even seeing him. See what is our misfortune. 17th verse. This is a little esoteric. Purna pulinda uruga yappadabjaraga.
Purna pulinda uruga yappadabjaraga.
Sri kumkumena daita stana manditena. Taddarshana smara rujastrana rushitena. Limpantya anana kucheshu jahustadadhim. Someone, take this shadow, you read. So even the material lusty desires also can be immediately satisfied if one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness. There is a key point in the purport. Right? So as far as Vrindavan is concerned, everyone is having a pure desire to attain Krishna, and there could be some gradations also amongst the Vrindavan Vasis also. But even someone like Kubja also, if she is having some attraction towards Krishna, Krishna will fulfill that. Right, we'll see in the 45th or 47th chapter. We'll go ahead. Hantaya madri rabala haridasa varyo.
Hantaya madri
rabala haridasa varyo. Yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramoda. Manam tanoti sahago ganayostayoryat. Paniya suvayasa kandara kanda mulaihi. Hantaya madri rabala haridasa varyo. Yadrama krishna charanas parasha pramoda. Manam tanoti sahago ganayosta yoryat. Paniya suyavasa kandara kanda mulaihi.
Of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. O my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balram, along with their calves, cows and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking, very soft grass, calves, caves, fruits, flowers and vegetables. In this way, the hill offer respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant.
So this is a very important verse, appreciating the service of Govardhan. Hantayam, Hanta, oh, means like they are like wondering, astonished. Hanta, ayam adrihi, this, adri, this mountain, right? Abala, abala means ladies, right? Oh, my dear friends, sakhis. Haridasa varyu, oh, my dear friends, sakhis, please see this adri, he is the best of all servants of Krishna. Haridasa varya. Why? Because yad rama krishna charana sparasha pramodaha. Because this hill, Govardhan Hill, is constantly getting the touch of the lotus feet of Rama and Krishna, Balaram and Krishna. And pramodaha, it's becoming jubilant. If you just stamp on someone, will he become jubilant? No, but Haridasa Varya Govardhan is becoming jubilant because by receiving the touch of Krishna and Rama. Manam tanoti, it offers such respect to Krishna and Balaram. Saha go ganayoho means, saha go ganayoho means along, offers respect to Krishna and Balaram along with all the cows and calves and gopas. Right? Manam tanoti saha go ganayos tayoryat. And tayoryat, it offers to them. Tayor is referring to Krishna Balaram again. How it offers various services? Paniya, with drinking water. Suyasava, with soft grass for the cows to eat. Kandara, and for the gopas to sit also. Kandara, caves. Sometimes there are some pastimes described in the future verses also. Like Krishna would go into the caves and then have some games there. Right? Kandara, caves. Kandamulaihi, by edible roots. Kandamula, fal. So these are various services offered by Govardhan. So because it is offering so many services, Govardhan is the best of all servants. So paniya is water which is fragrant, cool. Cool waterfalls also. Krishna Balaram will drink. They wash their feet. They wash their mouths. So it's a great service. Then so many beverages, honey, mango juice, pilu juice, like that. Then suyavasa, durva grass, for religious offering of arghya. Then grass, which is very fragrant and soft and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. Right? It is used for transcendental heads of Nanda Maharaj and other cows. Kandara means caves. So Krishna Balaram, they would sit in the caves and then lie down in the caves. It is the caves are giving pleasure to them in the midst of heat, cold and rain. When rain comes, all of them will just run into the caves and then hide there. When there is a lot of sun, they will go into the cave. So, like that, Govardhan is offering so many services. So, soft roots, jewels, flat places, lamps, mirrors, smooth stones, glistening water, natural substances, so many services. Now, Jiva Goswami says, he says many things in this purport, but just a couple of points. The touch of Govardhan is so pleasurable like the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. Because the touch of Govardhan is giving such pleasure to Krishna, and when the devotees touch Govardhan, it is as good as touching Krishna's lotus feet. Right? Krishna's lotus feet are taking so much pleasure in touching Govardhan. Right? If you touch Govardhan, that is touching Krishna's lotus feet only. By touching Govardhan, one accomplishes the bliss of touching Krishna's feet. Since he holds a treasure of the touch of Krishna's feet and he constantly performs various pastimes filled with prema at that place. So Govardhan is getting unlimited footprints, opportunity to have the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So Mother Earth in general, Vrindavan Bhumi, Vrajabhumi in specific, in more specific Govardhan. Krishna goes out to herd the cows and then whole day he's in Govardhan, or Vrindavan, related places. And then evening he comes back, right? Govardhan got the maximum touch of Krishna's lotus feet, right? It is very fortunate. 19th verse. Gogopakairanuvanam natayor udara. Gogopakairanuvanam natayor वेणुस्वनैः
कलपदैस्तनुभृष्टुसख्यः
अस्पन्दनं गतिमतां पुलकस्तरूणां निर्योगपाशकृतलक्षणयोर्विचित्रम्.
My dear friend, as Krishna and Balram pass through the forest with their cowherd friends, leading their cows, they carry ropes to bind the cows, rear legs at the time of milking. When Lord Krishna play on his flute, the sweet music causes the moving living entities to become stunned and the non-moving trees to tremble with ecstasy. These things are certainly very wonderful.
So now they are like towards the end, maybe the last verse. They are saying moving living entities are stunning and non-moving living entities like trees are trembling. We have seen now, trees also tremble like that. So Krishna Balaram would sometimes wear cowherding ropes on heads, right? And sometimes carry them on shoulders. So cowherding ropes are there, they put here, or sometimes they put on the head also. Like that. So they were beautifully decorated with all this equipment. Cowherd boy equipment, not Kshatriya equipment. So Krishna Balaram's ropes are made of yellow cloth and have clusters of pearls as at both ends. Sometimes they wear these ropes around like their turbans, and the ropes thus become wonderful decorations. So you can use ropes with pearls also as turban, not just cloth and flowers. Okay.
Evam vidha bhagavato
या वृंदावनचारिण वर्णयन्त्यो मिथो गोप्य क्रीडास्तन्मयतां ययुः.
Thus narrating to one another the playful pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he wandered about in the Vrindavan forest, the gopis become fully absorbed in thoughts of him.
So, Sukadeva Goswami is summarizing. So, gopis were absorbed in the thought, as we discussed from 7th verse to 19th verse. That is 13 verses, right? So, gopis were recollecting Krishna. Then the purport very beautifully describes the devotion of gopis. It's a perfect example of Krishna consciousness. To somehow or other remain always engrossed in the thought of Krishna. The vivid example is always present in the behavior of gopis. That's why Mahaprabhu declared that it is the topmost form of worship. Ramya kachid upasana vrajavatur sargyanaya kalpita. So gopis are not born in Kshatriya family or Brahmana family. They are in Vaishya families. Right, not in big mercantile communities also. They are simple cowherd communities. Vaishyas have two things. Krishi, Goraksha, Vanidhyam. So they are not so much in Vanidhyam. Right? Business Vaishyas are more sophisticated than cowherd Vaishyas. They are belonging to cowherds. Right? They are like simple ladies. They are not very well educated. Although they had all sorts of knowledge from Brahmanas. So the gopis' only purpose was to remain always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. So this is one sample of their absorption in thought of Krishna. That is Venu Gita. Thank you all very much. Grantharaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Questions? First question, 8 marks. Second question, 8 marks. Third question, 8 marks. Third question, 5 marks. Fourth question, 8 marks. Third question, you can make it 20, make it 6 marks, and fifth question is 20 marks. Okay.
Kashyap started with him. Hey, oh, Pendrive, Pendrive. You want to show something? You can show. You can show if you want something. Yeah, show. Show everything. So tomorrow we'll have the overview of first 20 chapters. Day after tomorrow, preparation leave. Friday morning we'll have exam. Friday morning 9 to 12. Friday post lunch, there will be decoration of 7 temples of Vrindavan by all of you. With their feet badge. Thank you.
अब अपनी आंखें खोलोगी या फिर से मुझे खोलनी पड़ेगी।